is Free Talk Live, and you're invited to join us here on the radio waves. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We also have Skype. You may Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm. Plus, we've got the Discord on-air call-in line room where you can sound almost like you're sitting in the studio with us here. Go to discord.lrn.fm and just join the first chat room there. And we'll join you, and you'll get on the radio here with us. Now, you can bring up anything you want. Obviously, we always bring stuff to the table worthy of discussing. And I want to welcome back special guest hosts Conan and Ian here. Hey, Conan.
Hey.
You're normally here Wednesday night. Daryl is gone tonight, and we have replaced him with TJ.
TJ the spy in the studio, my good sir. It's good to be back. You know, I feel so relaxed. I was telling my shrink the other day, they said, is there anything you enjoy? And I said, pretty much the only thing I've ever enjoyed in life that gave me pleasure was being behind the microphone
of
the Liberty Radio Network. Because, you know, inevitably something crazy would always happen. There was never a lack of drama. And so, you know, just having to explain my entire life here to my therapist was kind of like an ordeal. Took a whole, like, four sessions just to get, she's like, who's Ian Freeman again? And, you know, FBI and, you know, this and that. And just, it was a wonderful thing. But, yeah, I'm great to be back. And, you know,
it's great to have you back, although it's temporary. You're only here visiting for Forkfest, which is starting up tomorrow
officially. Yes,
and we're of course getting all packed up here today. Conan's he's not going, but
I got animals to feed,
but most of the rest of everybody from this area I think is heading up for Forkfest and or Porkfest, which is the event following that. And I think Forkfest is going to turn out to be pretty good. I'm gonna guess there's probably going to be maybe approximately upwards of 100 people there, because there's like 45 people in the Forkfest chat room on Telegram, and some people are already there. People who weren't in the chat room are already up there at Forkfest. So, I mean, pre-Forkfest, as of earlier this week. So if people are already showing up, you know, 2-3 days in advance, that's indicator.
Well, I came all
that's
the
hardcore.
Way. Yeah. As you know, I came all the way from Denver, Colorado, where
I drove here.
Drove here because I refused to give the TSA my information, so I drive religiously. But anyway, yes, I drove here from Denver, Colorado, drove it straight through, and stopped in St. Louis.
You didn't even go to sleep?
Well, I...
How long is it straight from Denver to New Hampshire?
It is a 12-hour drive from Denver to St. Louis, and then from St. Louis to Keene, New Hampshire is another 18.
Okay, so you stopped off in St. Louis for a little bit.
No.
No.
Straight through.
Okay. Wow. That's hardcore, man.
Oh, yeah.
So you're doing Uber driving.
Uber and Lyft, correct.
You told us when you'd called in a little while back. So I have an Uber-related story that I've had in show prep for a little bit. We'll get into that. Plus, Conan, you've got a story you wanted to share about some cop supporters shutting down a woman's business over apparently a Facebook post.
As is the times, somebody decided that they would stand up to this oppressive regime that are the cops and say, we're not going to serve them here.
Let's talk about that. Let's start with that story if you've got it ready.
I got it ready to go.
Yeah, let's do that.
So this happened late last year. I'm reading this from news.com.au. And when a coffee shop owner's 23-year-old daughter went on Facebook a rant about police officers late last week, little did she realize it would ruin her beloved business forever.
Now, this happened last year, right? Just so
I'm not sure when she actually posted, but her... All right, we're going to get to what happened late last year. Cato Mealy, the owner of the White Rose Coffee House in Lynn, Boston. That's right across the street from us, pretty much.
Wasn't the White Rose the society that published underground publications during, like, Nazi Germany times? And they were killed by the Nazis?
It does ring a bell.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's just right across the river from us, Boston. Went into major damage control when her daughter, Sophie C.K., said she would never allow a coffee with a cop even to take place in my family's establishment ever.
Now, coffee with a cop, for those that don't know, is kind of a... I don't know if it's nationwide, but it's definitely something I've seen before with where cops, you know, whether it's the police chief or their spokesperson or whoever it is, they select for this.
Do they have that here in Keene?
I am not sure about that. That's a good question. I know I've had coffee with cops before.
And backseat driving with them.
Yeah. Well, right. We did a ride-along years ago, and they stopped doing ride-alongs after they did a ride-along with us. And it was actually a really good ride along, and we got along great with Shane Maxfield, who was a sergeant, I think, at that time. But so the coffee with a cop thing is where they'll announce that, hey, one of our officers is going to be at Starbucks or wherever, and you know they'll be there, and you can go
ask
talk
whatever.
To a cop. Or
and, of
whatever.
Course, this article even goes into explain coffee with a cop was started in U.S. in 2011 as a chance for the community to speak with their local police officers over a cup of coffee. When one of Sophie's Facebook friends said her opinion sounds like a mistake, she pushed further. Absolutely not a mistake. Citizens do not need to humanize police officers. Police
Wow.
officers need to humanize citizens, particularly Mm. black citizens. Why they seem to struggle with doing considerably keep, or, and there's a little bit of grammar here, struggle with doing considering they keep murdering them. Sophie was a manager at the White Rose, added. Mm. In a separate post, she wrote, I will not be part of the false rhetoric that cops are just misunderstood good guys. They uphold an unjust system and murder without consequence.
Wow, what can we do to get this chick to New Hampshire?
I don't know if we want her. When you start getting behind her mother and her political views, probably big Bernie bros.
Lefties. Yeah.
I'm thinking the White Rose might have something, the actual title might have something to do with that, some communist thing.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know what the viewpoint of the White Rose was back in the day, back in Nazi Germany. But I did, at one point, I saw a movie about it, but apparently I didn't retain that much.
The White Rose Society, right. I think.
Yeah, that's what they were. The White Rose Society. They published anti-Nazi stuff secretly and somehow were found out and then put to death. Sad story. It's definitely a tragedy.
As soon as Mealy, that's the mother of Sophie, saw the post, she demanded Sophie delete them, mm-hmm. which she did. But unfortunately, the damage was already done.
Wow.
A large group from the website that originally published the comments descended on White Rose's Coffeehouse Facebook page, leaving hundreds of bad reviews and comments, ruining its original 5-star rating it had built over the first year. And I believe that it was the, I think this was originally posted on the Blue Line, the Thin Blue Line
One of their websites.
I didn't even realize they had one that was totally designated to just talking about, you know, the glories and the heroic deeds of our police officers.
Oh, there's plenty of pro-cop sites out there. Some of them will actually vet the site members to make sure they're actual cops.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there are sites just for cops for them to talk to one another. And, of course, they're just full of all kinds of anger and hatred towards, you know, various different members of the community.
Well, if you read the comments on any of these articles that I was able to find, that's exactly what it is. There is no pro support for this family. Sophie received rape threats. The cafe phone rang off the hook with people abusing them, hoping they would drown or that their business was ruined. And the part of the rape threats were, we hope you get raped and that no cop is available to come help you.
That sounds like Christopher Cantwell's voicemail.
I suspect that's would be the case. I suspect that the police did nothing whatsoever to investigate these threats,
They were probably cops.
That were posting those things? Good chance of it. I would say so.
Or police officers' family members.
Yeah, know. That too.
The mother reported, these are people targeting us for the stupid opinion of a 23-year-old, my 23-year-old daughter. She told the Boston Globe.
Her opinion is spot on. Your daughter is absolutely right about the police and the fact that these people are coming out with death threats and rape threats against her indicates, hey, Mom, you're on the wrong side of this.
Yeah, that's the saddest part about this. She might not. And you know what? Here's the big thing about this. I believe that the mother, I think she's totally on board with this opinion.
With
her daughter's opinion?
What makes you believe that?
Just from seeing her interviews and looking at the signs and whatnot that they have posted on the restaurant, on the coffee house. She is, you know, I believe that she is anti-police state, and I believe that
she's too cowardly?
Yes, absolutely. And she fears for her business, which we're going to find out didn't make it. Melee released a lengthy statement to the local police department apologizing, and even the Lynn chief, the police tried to douse the Firestone. This is a non-story, Michael McGeary, the police chief, told local paper Daily Item. This young lady has the right to say whatever she wants, and we respect that.
Wow, okay. Well, that's good, because there was a police chief in Exeter, New Hampshire recently who had a man arrested who commented negatively on a newspaper article about the police chief.
Wow.
And subsequently, those charges were dropped that he was slapped with. There's more coming up here in moments. Join us. It's Free Talk Live. Yeah! It is Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us on the radio. Take control of the airwaves. The toll-free number here is 855-450. Free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, you've got Ian here.
And Conan.
And TJ the Spy.
And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. If you are new to the world of cryptocurrency, what better place to start than learning about the one that created them all, basically, Bitcoin. Go to Bitcoin.com. You can get the basics about Bitcoin there. And also, you can dig further in and you can buy your first Bitcoin. You can get Bitcoin Core. You can get Bitcoin Cash. It's up to you. They've also got a mining pool. So if you want to get involved in the mining aspect of Bitcoin, they make it super easy over at pool.bitcoin.com, where you don't have to do any of the hard work of actually having to know how to set up a server to mine and, you know, graphics cards and all the hardware configuration and software configurations. You just have them take care of it for you, and then they pay you out every single month, every single day, actually. You get a statement every month. Go to pool.bitcoin.com to do that. That's pool.bitcoin.com. As we continue here, just the eve of Forkfest.
Yes.
Is where we are. We're talking about, apparently this was in Massachusetts, Conan, this story that you're sharing with us.
Lynn, Massachusetts.
Where there was a coffee shop named after the White Rose, which was a society that was anti-Nazi in Germany.
Right, they were activists. They did a lot of pamphlet throwing. They basically were the resistance.
Correct. They were undermining quietly the Nazi propaganda with their own. And
until they were subsequently all arrested and by the Gestapo.
And now history is repeating itself, where the White Rose Cafe, one of the managers, who is the daughter of the owner...
How ironic is all of this?
...spoke out and spoke out against police militarization on Facebook. That resulted in her mother freaking out. Now, Conan, you're speculating, saying that you believe that mom in this case, even though she...
Look at the name of her establishment.
Could have been a coincidence. Could have been a coincidence. Maybe she just likes white flowers. I mean, maybe it's not named after the White Rose Society. I don't know. But you're right. That could be a hint. But you're saying that even though mom is trying to backpedal this, or tried real hard to backpedal this, she demanded her daughter remove the comment.
She fired her daughter.
Fired her daughter. She made a statement to the police department and, you know, was so apologetic. But yet she and her daughter were facing death threats. They were facing rape threats, comments, negative, nasty comments coming in on their Facebook page.
Five-star review reduced to
ruined,
a one-star.
Ruined by hundreds of commenters who probably have never set foot in the actual restaurant.
And you know, I probably missed this story because I don't listen to enough Howie Carr and Rush Limbaugh.
You think Howie Carr would have talked about this?
Oh, definitely. It's a Massachusetts story.
Okay, true.
I believe that he probably got his callers... He probably had a poll, and he's like, how many of you agree with this person? How many of you agree with the police? And if you disagree, you all need to call this establishment right now. He probably had the number on his show.
I don't know. You're referring to a guy who's he does a regional talk show in New England. People outside of New England probably don't know who Howie Carr is. But if you are a talk radio listener in New England, you probably do know who he is because he's all over the place.
Big, thin, blue-eyed supporter, big Trump supporter.
Oh, yeah. Total Republican, right-wing police statist.
Sounds like somebody I'd like to meet as a spy.
Would you?
Yeah, sure.
Why?
I always find people who have different ideologies. I mean, that was my job as a spy, was to understand an adversary. And of course, adversaries typically had very strange ideas, as you might imagine, like, you know, wanting to kill lots of Americans. So it's not, you know, just and I'm just thinking, you know, a lot of this sounds like the information warfare we used to engage in. Now it's Facebook. It's so gosh darn easy to destroy your business. You can have a beautiful 5-star review restaurant on Google and one comment on Facebook. Wow. And it's amazing.
They should have just taken it down. They should have taken the page down, because you can do that, right?
Like, you can't take your Yelp page down.
Really? Okay. Even if you pay Yelp? Because I know I've heard rumor, if you pay Yelp, they'll let you go and remove naughty comments.
I think money talks. I think you're absolutely right. If you know who to talk to, there's ways to do that.
Well, I think this is a bad thing, but for a different reason. Because one of the things in a free society is you should be free to say things and then later say, you know what, I changed my mind. I said something that was offensive and I didn't really know whatever group, gay people, black people, whatever group you're not familiar with. But now that I know more, I actually realize I was wrong. And I think that's a wonderful right to have as an American, that you can change your mind. And
yeah, but that doesn't mean everybody else is going to accept it, right?
But you know what? If this young woman had said something bigotorily against gays or minorities or any kind of minority, and this backlash was to hit their establishment like it did and failed, I'd be like, all right, yeah, that makes complete sense. But public servants, whether they be the military or whether they be the post office or, you know, my own position, yeah, or they whether they be police officers or the fire department, whoever, you know, all she's doing is calling them out for their bad deeds.
Yeah.
And there are bad deeds out there, a lot more than should be happening.
We could fill entire shows.
There are a lot of bad apples out there, a lot more than there should be. Yep. And so, I mean, I have, if when the criticism is on these public servants, I have no, I make no excuse for them.
We're going to continue. I know that you had more to the story. We were just getting into the part where she was writing a letter to the police chief. There is more.
She's trying to pick up the pieces, and it just doesn't work.
And this is before her business completely folded. Right. That's part of the story still to come. Let's go first, though, to Nolan. He's in upstate New York, listening online via the TuneIn app. Hello, Nolan. Hello, Nolan in New York. Do we have Nolan going once? Do we have Nolan in New York going twice? All right, we'll put Nolan back on hold. Maybe he's in a bad cell or there's some sort of switch that needs to be flipped on our board op over there in the network studios. So we'll check back with him in a moment. Let's continue the story here.
So sadly, Michael McGeary, the police chief, says this young lady has the right to say whatever she wants, and we respect that. We will continue to do our job every day. My sense is that most officers will avoid the establishment, but that is their choice.
It is. And that should be, you know, the freedom of people to boycott and to, you know, not bring their business somewhere, and certainly to talk badly about a business. Yep. I mean, that's all within freedom of speech. It's all within the marketplace and the freedoms that we should have. But to cross over into threats of death, to cross over into threats of rape, that is not okay. And, you know, as I said before, I expect the police did not do much to investigate, if they even went to them with those.
Yeah, I don't think that there were enough police even in this little town to have actually shut this place down. It was their supporters.
Absolutely. Of course.
If I understand correctly, I think there's only three police officers.
Wow. All right. Tell me more.
Mealy, the owner, used a public statement to apologize for the reprehensible affront, distasteful bias, and hateful remarks made by the manager, which was the daughter of the White Rose, on a personal Facebook page. Mealy even fired her own daughter in a build and a bid to get customers back into her empty store.
It's pathetic.
Quote, as a beginning, I invited interested Lynn law enforcement to visit the White Rose on Monday, October 16th, or any time to help us make amends, but more importantly, provide us with some guidance and suggestions that through a cooperative effort, we will help make an ever-improving Lynn, the statement read. But despite everything, no police officers or customers showed up.
So you got to be wrong about the number of police officers. The city of Lynn is actually one of the larger cities in Massachusetts. It's in the top 10 with a total population of 90,000 people.
Ooh, wow.
So given that Keene has 40-plus uniformed officers, you're probably looking at over 100 officers.
You're absolutely right. I think what I read was the daughter might have said something to the effect, we haven't even had three police officers in the whole time I've worked here.
Well, let's continue the discussion here in moments, because really my question is, what would have happened if mom had actually backed her daughter? If they'd actually stayed strong on message and stood up against the police
state. Instead of calling her out and saying she did wrong.
Yeah, and trying to back everything back, trying to, you know, bring it all back and undo the damage, which obviously didn't work. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE if you want to join us.
Good technology is good, but the philosophy behind the tech is important. And Zencash was made by voluntarists, with the ideas of voluntary interaction being embedded in their white paper. With no central authority or a single point of failure, Zencash is more resilient than a traditional corporation. Everyone has an equal opportunity to participate in decision-making, which empowers stakeholders and makes Zencash less susceptible to third-party influence. And Zencash allows for secure private transactions. Learn more at Zencash.com.
Free Talk Live, you dial toll-free, bring up whatever you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about a restaurant or a coffee shop in Lynn, Massachusetts.
Was
a coffee shop. It is now done for because of the ongoing internet attacks against it and real life boycott.
According to the owner.
Yeah.
I don't really know. It could be. She could have money problems.
Could have been.
And she could just be blaming it on the police. But
the claim is that business dried up after her daughter made a statement online that was critical of the police, the police state, the militarization of the police. We'll continue the story.
Rightfully so, by the way.
Indeed. So we'll continue that. Also, want to make sure you know about Freedom's Phoenix. It's a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. If you want the newest and freshest stories and perspectives on current events from those who value liberty, then check out freedomsphoenix.com. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. It's freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. That's freedomsphoenix.com. In fact, I happen to know that Ernest Hancock from Freedom's Phoenix is going to be heading up to, I believe, both ForkFest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which, again, ForkFest kicks off tomorrow. So we'll look forward to seeing some of you up there in Lancaster, New Hampshire, which we'll talk about a little bit more here. I believe we actually have Nolan on with us now in upstate New York. Nolan, are you there? Oh, our board op said he was there. Nolan, going once, going twice. We're just going to have to let you go at this point.
Can you
hear me? Oh, you are there. You are there.
Okay,
you're really quiet. I think that I'm going to turn you up on my end here. Hopefully the board out there can turn you up there as well. Go ahead, Nolan.
Okay. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I was watching, I'm not sure if you watched any of the primaries last night, but pretty much if you were a Libertarian Republican, it was not a great night for you.
Are you talking about New York primaries?
No, I'm talking about last night they had primaries in Virginia, Maine, Nevada, South Carolina.
Okay.
In Virginia. So last night there was this guy in Virginia who was running as a Republican named Nick Freetas. He was a Green Beret. He was a Libertarian Republican.
I'm not really sure what that means.
Well, he was a Republican, but he was he had a more libertarian voting record. Like, he was more in favor of, like, the Second Amendment and marijuana and stuff like that, which
okay.
a lot of Republicans. He came, like, extremely close to winning the primary, but instead the Republicans went with Corey Stewart, who's a pro-Confederate alt-right guy.
Yuck.
And they only went with him because he likes Trump. And then what was even worse was there's this guy, I'm not sure if you've heard of him, named
Probably
Mark
not.
Sanford.
Yeah, I don't pay any attention whatsoever to politicians. I really don't care
Wait,
who they are and what they do.
Especially if they're not in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
The only Mark Sanford I know was Governor Sanford of Virginia. He like went off on the Appalachian Trail with his mistress, didn't he?
That was South Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, he last night, what happened was after he was governor at Sanford, after he left as governor, he went back to the House, and he's been in for a couple terms, but what happened was yesterday, he got voted out, and he was, like, a big libertarian guy. I think he has, like, a job at, like, a marijuana company, but he had one of the most, like, he was kind of like a Justin Amash type.
Okay.
And that didn't make Trump happy.
Okay.
So I guess Trump put out a tweet yesterday endorsing his primary opponent.
Gotcha. Well, look here, man. It's tough. I mean, you could probably go through some laundry list of all these loser politicians who failed at their attempts to, you know, get somewhere in this political system, which is obviously stacked against people who might take a more pro-freedom perspective on things. It also, you know, and hey, everybody's got their hobby. Some people it's watching sports. Some people it's watching politics. Ultimately, politics probably more important, but the names to me don't really care. I don't really care who they are, and to me they're all a bunch of scum, and they're a bunch of liars and thieves.
Just a bunch of dudes who get off on ruling their neighbor.
Right, and certainly I don't blame anybody for wanting to choose the lesser of the evils and trying to figure out who the lesser of the evils is. I don't blame anybody for that. I think that you're fully within your rights to do that. I've done it before. I think we've all done it when it comes to going and voting for the lesser of two evils. But I'd much rather have somebody, if I'm going to vote, I'd much rather have somebody that I can vote for, that I can feel good about voting for because that person is an actual libertarian, somebody who understands the ideas of non-aggression and peace and can communicate those effectively. And you're not going to get that from most of these libertarian Republicans, as you've pointed out, or, you know, whatever the term, you've pointed out, maybe they're libertarian on a few issues, but they're not really libertarians. They're not people who understand what non-aggression is. And so that's why I would recommend to anybody out there who is concerned with freedom and who wants to find candidates worth supporting, move to New Hampshire. Join the ongoing migration of liberty-loving people, many of whom are running for political office here.
Yeah, you can elect Senator Freeman this year, this libertarian Senator Freeman.
I am running for state senate as a libertarian. We should have a fairly large slate of candidates running as a libertarian this year, because the Libertarian Party actually has full ballot access this year for the first time in two decades here in New Hampshire. It's actually as easy to get on the ballot here as it is if you're a Republican or a Democrat. And there are so many libertarians here in New Hampshire that many of them are running as Republicans and Democrats. So you may end up having races here where you've got a libertarian running as a Republican versus a libertarian running as a libertarian, and maybe a libertarian running as a Democrat. Wouldn't that be fun if all three of the candidates were actually like free staters?
So you got to pick from three libertarians?
Yes, that's called a rigged election.
Well, let's rig it, because that's what they would do to us, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nolan, how do you think the general election is going to go down? What's your feeling on that with all these Trump haters and Trump lovers out there? The general election.
Oh, well, I think it's shaping up to be a not so great year for Republicans.
Because no, that's true.
I read on Twitter, there was this one guy who was like this big conservative columnist, and he was saying he talked to a lot of people, and he didn't know if it was widespread or not, but he was talking to a lot of people in Virginia who said they were going to leave the Republican Party because of Corey Stewart, the pro-Confederate Trump guy, getting the nomination to go up against Tim Kaine in November instead of Nick Freetas. And he said that because they were so upset about that, a lot of them were thinking about leaving. But he didn't know if that was widespread.
Well, generally, what happens at these interim elections, or whatever they're called, the midterm ones, is there's usually a pendulum swing back, right? So
every 2 to 4 years.
Trump and the Republicans win in 2016, and then
there's the backlash.
They lose seats in 2018. It's almost guaranteed.
Which is what they've been doing for the last 2 years, is all this pro-Putin. The Republicans are pro-Putin, and they rigged the election, and now they're making peace with Kim Jong-yum-yum. And what are we going to do about it? We're unhinged. We got to do something about it. And the pendulum swings back.
Trump does deserve some kudos for the Kim Jong-un thing. I mean, that was pretty historic.
His first time.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. We talked in detail about that this week.
We've spoken about this on the show before. Dennis Rodman. He made it happen. He's not getting
enough credit
that he deserves.
Yeah. Dennis Rodman laid the track for this, for sure. Nolan, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number, again, the names don't really mean much to me, but, you know, I feel sorry for these libertarians outside of New Hampshire, man. They are just, they're so desperate. They're so lonely.
They're beating a dead
horse. They're trying desperately to, like, find something to grab onto that feels semi-libertarian, and it's just like, these politicians are not libertarians that you're talking about. I mean, I don't know who they are, and maybe one of them really is libertarian, but I doubt it, right? Because wouldn't we have heard about an actual sitting
Ron Paul type libertarian?
A Ron Paul, wouldn't we get the catch wind of something like that existing out there?
I don't know, because when Ron Paul was running for president, we never heard any of his speeches. We never heard him going out there to the packed stadiums.
I saw Ron Paul speak in New Hampshire.
You did.
Yeah.
It wasn't on the mainstream media. And by the way, the same thing with, love him or hate him, Bernie Sanders. The establishment chose to exclude these two individuals. And so, no, I think that they'll just, the way they play the game, they just ignore you.
I'm not saying we'd hear through mainstream media. I would say we'd hear through the libertarian channels that these people exist. And they don't. There's more coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. You can join us on Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free. Join us on the radio here. The number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. It is definitely not too late to get up to ForkFest. You don't have to worry about it selling out, because there are no tickets. You just show up at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire, and you can camp if you want to do that. You can bring your RV if you want to do that. They've got RV spaces. And also, if you would prefer to hotel it, they've got a motel right there on the site.
You've
got
to get a site, or try bunking up with someone else in someone else's site.
And that's usually possible.
But there's no ticket price.
Correct.
There's no admittance fee.
Unlike the following event, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which comes up right afterwards. So the Fork Fest is the 14th through the 18th, and then the Porcupine Freedom Festival starts on the 19th. That one you do need to have a ticket for. And, you know, they've got all kinds of organizers and board of directors and that whole thing. ForkFest is decentralized, which means that you are in charge of what you do. Maybe you want to just hang out and camp with other libertarians. That's easy. Or perhaps you want to create a thing for the other people there to do. Maybe you want to create an event of some sort. I know our very own Daryl W. Perry, who is not with us on the air tonight, is planning on multiple athletic events that he's going to be holding, including what he calls a beer mile, where participants will have to drink an entire beer after each quarter mile lap. And then basically by the time you're done, you've polished off four whole beers after having run a mile.
I don't know how I feel about that.
You thinking about doing that one, TJ?
You know, ethanol and me do not really get along. My father was a severe alcoholic, but I tend to hurl my lunch whenever I get too drunk, and I end up with a terrible hangover. But yeah. I, you know, for Daryl's sake, I will do it.
Really? I don't know if you want to. I mean, if you're more likely to hurl, I would imagine you're more likely to hurl if you've ran a mile while drinking.
You know, I am a big fan of the ethanol, but I can't get my mind around consuming four beers in, what, 6 minutes?
You're not going to do a 6 minute mile.
I am.
No, you're not.
I could do a 7 minute mile right now.
Well, that's very impressive.
But taking beer breaks in between each quarter?
Yeah, because you got to pound a whole beer.
8 minutes.
So you can pound a beer in 15 seconds?
I don't know. I've never timed myself. I'm a sipper.
I don't know if you get disqualified if you spill any, too. I don't know what the rules are. We don't have Daryl here to tell us about that, but I will ask him when we get up there. So he's putting on things. There's going to be the Alt Expo where you can do, there's going to be speechifying going on there. There's a wedding happening on Sunday. So
you want me to tell you about my event that's going on?
I don't know. Do you want to talk about it?
Of course I want to talk about it. All we're having a letter writing campaign. So.
That's right.
Yes, to Ross Ulbricht in prison.
Awesome.
So the idea is, you know, we'll have plenty of paper.
Are you
going to
do this right after the beer slugging mile?
No, we might do it while people are a little bit more creative, you know.
There you go.
But no, you know, right around the campfire and just share ideas of like, oh, do you think he made like this? What? Try to cheer him up. Try to give him hope and inspiration because he is facing two life
sentences. You guys should do video letters.
Video letters?
You can't do that. How would he watch the video?
He doesn't have that right to...
Nope. When you're a Bureau of Prison inmate, they restrict your federal prison is not a fun row to hoe.
I mean, most anybody in jail isn't going to be able to watch a video. I mean, there's just no way to send a video.
Maybe I don't know that much about jail.
But I will say this. What you can do is with federal inmates, if you know the inmate, if they know you, they do have access to an email system where they have to pay like by the word or something like that to send emails. So they do have an email system in federal prisons. I don't know if Ross is able to access that. He may be in a communications management unit.
It's funny. He's out actually at ADX Florence. We're in Colorado.
That's near where you live.
Yeah, he's just a short two-hour drive. So I've actually thought about going down there and visiting
him. Visit him, sure. You probably have to get some sort of advance approval.
I've already been looking into that, and I'll talk it over with the family. But you're allocated 5 visitors for friends or associates.
I see.
And so I don't know if he's allocated all those to his actual family members. But
I bet you he hasn't. I mean, just saying, just knowing how it is when you're in jail, you know, people forget about you.
Yeah.
And they, you know, if you're lucky to have somebody come visit you who's in your family. Because it's easy to be busy and get, you know, even if you care about somebody, it's like, you know, it's easy to be busy on the outside, and on the inside, the days are passing quite slowly for those people, and just getting one piece of mail can really make a difference. For somebody in there. So you're going to make it easy for people. You're going to provide the paper.
The stamps, the letters.
The pens, the stamps.
And most importantly, all they need to provide is the love and the creativity.
There you go.
And, you know, you provide the sentiment and just say, okay, you know, and write and let the words flow.
Now, what day is that happening during ForkFest?
You know, I haven't decided on that. But I mean, there will be an event. And of course, it doesn't even have to be a particular day, because if you just stop by my tent and you say,
it'll be any old time.
Because I, you know how I work. I tend to guilt trip people in. I'll do something nice for them and then say, you know, that hamburger I just bought you, you know, you could repay me. You don't give me money.
Just write
a letter to Ross Ulbricht or something, you know.
So that's another thing you'll be able to do. Go to forkfest.party if you want to learn more about what's happening. There are a couple of calendars that are competing because, again, there's no central control. Anybody can do whatever they want. And forkfest.party is, of course, an unofficial website in which links and that links to other places like the forum, the Telegram chat, and more. Let's go to we got Bad Slave on the line in New Hampshire. Hello, Bad Slave.
Thank you. The idea of Trump.
What about Trump?
The idea of that man.
Okay.
That, you know, he's making America great again, supposedly, right? I mean, MAGA, it's got the red hats, got everything going.
Yeah.
How is that not a liberty focus?
What do you mean, a liberty focus?
Well, I think that what made America great in the first place was a liberty focus. Do we not agree on that?
Is building a wall around the country a liberty focus?
Well, of course not. That's my point.
You're not saying Trump is a liberty person. You're saying that making America great again would only happen if it was freedom, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that it should actually lean strongly in that direction.
I think we all think America should be more free.
And people look at, you know, what's going on with the police, what's going on with the bulk of really bad law that's supposed to be the rule of law that runs us all. And also, Trump, his wall, Trump, his, the boat is completely missed on the Black Lives Matter, the fact that the police hide the deaths that they cause. The police are, this White Rose, I just watched a short YouTube of the woman, Cato, I guess her name is.
Yep.
Is this the mom or the daughter?
Cato Mealy.
The mom. She believes in the, you know, the anti-Hitler thing, which,
oh, really? So it wasn't a coincidence why they called it the White Rose.
She's anti-bigotry, anti-fascist, anti-alt-right.
So what you're saying is here, and thank you, by the way, Bad Slave, for that call. You had speculated that she was anti those things, and now you're saying it's more confirmed. Basically, he's saying he confirmed it. He's seen a video about that.
The video in the interview, you can tell, but if you actually look at her establishment, she has posters on, mm-hmm. and this is not the daughter, this is the mother.
Right.
You know, anti-nationalist sentiment on her windows, and of course she changed the name of she changed the Pilgrim, which is a sandwich or something, to the Vegan Caprice or something like that.
Okay.
And they celebrated Indigenous People Day, which I'm in support of myself, but I mean she's very definitely questioning a lot of the normal sentiment that
so this was a huge mistake, in my opinion, right? So for listeners just tuning in, we're talking about a coffee shop called The White Rose in Lynn, Massachusetts.
It was a huge mistake to throw her daughter off the bus.
Yeah,
Not only did she lose the argument that I believe that she taught her daughter to support, but she lost her daughter.
And then she lost her business after that.
She could have stood up and she could have gained the support of everyone in our group, at least.
Right,
even if she is completely left-leaning like she is, I don't go to restaurants, but I might frequent that facility just because of her sentiment.
Because she would have had the courage to stand up.
Correct.
Like her daughter did, who was a manager at this coffee shop. She posted on Facebook a very pro-police accountability, anti-police violence, anti-police state statement, and her mom tried to walk it back in whatever way she could while holding similar beliefs. So, I mean, it's the ultimate act of cowardice on her part, and you know what? The world doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't reward cowardice, you know? And so she's actually trying to hide her real viewpoints. There's probably plenty of people who know. They've been to the shop before. They know what her actual viewpoints are. They may have lost respect for her because she didn't stand up for her beliefs and stand up for her daughter in this case. There's more coming up here, 855 450 free.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful, full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live. We're launching into the second hour of the program. As always, you can take control of the airwaves if you want to join us on the radio and bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And TJ the Spry coming in from Colorado.
He's spry and a spy.
Yeah, good to have you back, TJ. Of course, we've been talking about this lady in Lynn, Massachusetts, who had her business targeted. There's not much more to the story, but I just wanted to kind of recap and reflect on this one because I think there's some lessons to be learned here for those of us who actually are fans of keeping
some
the police
of us,
accountable.
Some of us in this room have experienced exactly what has happened here in this situation where we have been.
We've never run a coffee shop and had it shut down.
We've had businesses or had places of employment that have been shut down and targeted from us.
That's true.
And so I can feel it. I can feel what this lady might be going through. Even though I might not agree with her politically,
yeah,
I do agree with her at least on the anti-police sentiment that is strong in this country.
Well, and I don't know what her sentiment is exactly because she's not real clear. What happened was her daughter issued a statement on Facebook criticizing the police, you know, for their violence, for their militarization, and rightfully so. She's completely on spot with her critique. Mom saw that happen, so mom was the daughter was the manager at this coffee shop called the White Rose in Lynn, Massachusetts. Mom got all freaked out. She tried to walk it back, you know, undo the damage. She had her daughter delete the comments off of Facebook. She then issued a statement publicly embracing the police, apologizing to the police chief
inviting them to come in and have a sit down and a discussion and tell us where we went wrong, officer.
Yeah, but all the while purportedly holding beliefs behind the scenes that may have countered those. But regardless, you know, my opinion on this is that she really ought to have stood by her daughter, if indeed she agreed with her daughter. Because if she did agree with her daughter, if she was a critic of the police, then she should have stood by her daughter's side, and they should have stood together on this and took whatever consequences came and whatever benefits came. Because whenever you have a situation like this where a business becomes the hub of controversy, if the business owner crumbles under the pressure and kowtows to the man, in my opinion, and in this particular case, it didn't work for her.
This was a lose-lose.
She tried to do everything to undo this, and it ended up undoing her business entirely, and now the coffee shop is gone completely. If she had stood strong by her daughter, then maybe they would have seen support coming in from the community of all the people who've been abused by the police. Because those people are out there. I've been, summertime. It's summer, almost summertime here in Keene, New Hampshire. The days are pretty nice right now, so it's perfect to be hanging out on the porch here at the LRN studios, and I'm frequently out on my laptop doing things out there. And it's this time of year is when people will tend to stop and say things. And so I had one lady pull up in her car a few weeks ago, and she set out her car window, something to the effect of, thank you, you know, for doing what you do. The police are out of control. And she kind of looked like your typical Subaru-driving lesbian, you know, kind of older lesbian lady who was, you know.
We've got a lot of them around here.
Yeah. Driving a Lesbaru.
There you go, the Lesbaru.
Lesmobile.
She had very nice things to say and very complimentary. And that's not the first time things like that have happened. You know, people have had experiences with the police, but they don't come out of the woodwork generally because they are scared. So I understand why
they're afraid of this type of backlash.
Yes.
Coming down on them or their business or the place of employment.
So I don't you know, it's hard to blame the mom for being such a chicken, because that's the way most business owners would operate in this situation, is they would try to undo the damage. They'd try to, you know, do damage control. But ultimately, it didn't work for her. And so I feel like if she had just gone in the other direction and gone full on in support of her daughter, they might have had a chance to survive. It may not have still worked out, but they might have had a chance, because then you would be able to uncover those members of the community who agree with you.
Yeah. Here are her closing remarks. This is Cato Mealy.
The mom.
I've lost my business, and I've lost my daughter. I don't know how this story just keeps building, but I need people to leave me alone. I'm closing my business so I can stop being harassed.
Wow. Toll-free number if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You might want to just go ahead and leave town while you're at it as well, because, I mean, that kind of thing could follow you. I mean, this isn't a small town. We looked it up. Lynn's about 90,000 people.
It's a big town in my book, but...
But still, things in New England tend to be pretty small. I mean, even though there's 25,000 people here in the Keene area, or 23,000, everybody knows everybody. So, you know, 90,000 ain't that much bigger than you know, 23,000. So, if you want to join us, you can. The toll-free number again here is 855-450-FREE like freedom. TJ, the spy, joining us here tonight. You're uncharacteristically quiet.
Oh, I'm just listening to the banter going back and forth. I'm just waiting for a moment because I'm like, well, I don't have much to comment on this topic, and we've been talking about it for about an hour, and I was just
don't have comments about police abuse?
And he just drove straight from wherever.
Oh, yeah.
How many straight hours?
He went to sleep last night. He got here last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought he just got here.
No. He got here at 1 a.m. last night.
The only thing keeping him alive is the caffeine.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, it's the methylphenidate.
Or something.
You know what? And actually, I don't have a lot to say about these types of stories because I'm not a pro... police fam. I don't come from a pro police family, but a pro military family.
Okay.
And so there's a certain sentiment that I grew up with that prevents me from getting into these types of conversations, because I'm kind of a peacekeeper. I don't like rocking the boat.
But you had a television show, Conan, where you rock the boat in local politics.
Against politicians, police. The politicians are the psychopaths in my book. The police are just their minions. They're just
paid minions.
Yeah, they're highly paid underlings.
And just, I would
that,
like
that
to
are
say.
Just, that are just carrying out the bad law. They're just following orders, guys. Mm. Following orders.
I would like to tell any keen politicians that are listening, I can totally be bought off. Everyone else in this town is for sale. So am I. And so I thought it would be wonderful if I could actually become a City of Keene employee. And unlike most of the Keeniacs, you know, I actually have the impeccable credentials and the college degree and the lack of criminal history.
You worked for the federal government.
And you've listed your address at this location.
Yes,
and
exactly.
There's a big red
flag on
red flag that goes off, and a big red light that goes off, and a horn whenever this address gets mentioned.
That is a truth, because when I took a friend over to get his driver's license, he was, you know, between houses, so he didn't have a permanent address, so he had to have a notarized document saying he was homeless. So I took this document, this certified affidavit of indigency, as they call it, and this was his proof that he lived here. And they had never seen one of these before, even though it's listed on the DMV website clearly as an acceptable proof of address. And they took it in the back.
Right there on the wall.
On the wall. And they said, it's him. Freeman. Ian Freeman. And they had to go back and talk with a manager to see if it was an acceptable document. But
they took it, though, right?
They accepted it, yeah.
Well, they didn't want the cameras coming back in 15 minutes later and asking what's the deal here. It says right here in the wall that this is good to go.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to grab – actually, that was my next move. I was going to grab the poster off the wall and say, ma'am, I used to work for the federal government, so now here's how this goes. We have one document from A and one document from B and one document from C. Now, if you don't want to give them a driver's license, this is going to be a very awkward situation.
And it worked out.
Oh, it worked out just fine. But, you know, yeah, they mainly were just – they had never seen an affidavit of indigency before, and they were, like, alarmed that it came from Ian Freeman. Like,
that
he was,
Freeman's up to something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what you were trying to pull, so they had to consult a supervisor to make sure you weren't trying to pull a shady
one. Get the lawyer in, the state lawyer.
So in other news, we got an Uber-related story. We haven't done one of these in a while. This is pretty fresh off the Telegraph over in the UK. And you, TJ the Spy, happen to be an Uber and Lyft driver out in Denver, Colorado.
I am. That is my cover job. I actually work a 10-hour shift every day, and I go out and pick people up from the airport and get to see all parts of Denver, drive up the pretty mountains. I've been to Breckenridge and Colorado Springs and all over the state.
So the airport's right there. It's not in the...
It's right there in Denver, yeah.
That's convenient.
So now the money works out for you, because some people say after they take out their costs of gas and repairs that they're not really making that much doing Uber.
Yeah, I'll tell you more about the finances of it when we come back from break.
We'll continue here, your calls and thoughts, but also the headline that we're going to discuss here in a moment is that Uber, they say they can tell whether you're drunk simply by the way you're holding on to your phone and using your phone. We'll tell you a little bit more about that.
He's slurring.
Yeah, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can join us here on the radio. This is Free Talk. It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in here toll free. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about Uber, and apparently they say they can determine whether or not you are drunk from how you're handling your phone. We'll tell you about that here, and of course, in the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
And Conan.
And TJ the Spy.
Want to make sure you know about the Blink Home Security System. It is so affordable and wireless, so you really got some of the best of both worlds there. It's actually an affordable system, especially if you use this URL to go and get it, blinkprotect.com/FTL. That's /FTL, like Free Talk Live. Get you 15% off the already very affordable Blink system. You get the system, you unbox it, put the batteries in, set those cameras up wherever you want them because they're wireless. So if you need to move them, you put them in one place, but it's not quite right, you can move it and put it where you need to. Then you set it all up via your Wi-Fi enabled device, perhaps your tablet or your smartphone. And it really just takes moments. It is not a long process at all to do this. Go to blinkprotect.com/FTL. You get 15% off there. Once again, that's blinkprotect.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live. Ian Conan, TJ here. TJ, you are visiting here back in New Hampshire for basically what? Are you staying through Porkfest or just Forkfest?
I'm staying a little bit afterwards to help out a friend, but I'm staying, you know, gotcha. And, you know, catch up with old times and that kind of stuff, friends at the Quill and... But, I'm staying through Forkfest and Porkfest, and actually, that's what got me up here, because you recall I was coming up just for Porkfest, and then you said, what about Forkfest?
Yeah.
And I said, sure, I'm come up here for that as well.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you back. I'm sure we'll have you
in. It's great to be back.
From the campground as well, because we'll be broadcasting there every single day throughout the next several days. We're going to take off bright and early tomorrow morning and head up there, because we gotta get there tomorrow. And then we got to hammer out an entire show as soon as we get there, basically. So we're going to be on. It's going to be crunch time for Free Talk Live on the first day tomorrow. You can go to forkfest.party to learn more about that. So we were talking about Uber. You've been doing it for what, like a year now?
Since January of 2016. And believe it or not, that is what I call my pet peeve questions. There are certain questions you get as an Uber driver repeatedly. And they just eventually, and one of them is, how long have you been driving for Uber?
Yeah.
And
people are just trying to make conversation.
They're trying to make conversation, but they don't realize it's the same question I've had literally the past 500 rides. And the next question that they usually ask is, you know,
have you come up with fun ways to answer the question?
I usually just say January 2016 and move on to the next question they're going to ask is, how much do you make an hour? And that one is kind of like, well, you know, how much do you really want to, you know, like, it's the only profession, I think, where it's socially acceptable to ask someone how they make is like the service sector industry. Because I don't think you'd ever go up to a limo driver and just say, pardon me, man, how much do you make an hour?
Yeah, that's a good point. Most people, I wouldn't think, would want to go there, but you're saying that's one of the more common questions you get.
Very, very, very common. And so I say, well, we get paid 75 cents a mile plus 10 cents a minute that we're actually on a fare, and we have a...
Now, wait a minute. Isn't it 75% of the entire fare?
So the way the fare is calculated for us, it's actually done based on the mile and the amount of time we wait.
Right, but Uber has different different fares for different markets, right? So it might be a dollar a mile in your market, but it might be $1.50 a mile in a different market.
Yes.
So you'd get 75% of the entire take. The last when I was in Uber as a driver for a short time, that's what it was. It was started at 80%, and then they cut it down to 75%. After
Uber
about a
takes
month.
About a third to a half for their booking fees.
Really?
Yes, they take a very large percentage. So
wow,
I like
it's gotten a lot worse then over the years because it used to be 20%.
We have a huge supply of people willing to drive for Uber, so it's, you know.
So they've just been screwing them harder and harder.
I prefer to say the market has been operating efficiently to meet supply and demand, but some would say, you know, some would say screwing over the driver because we get less money, but I would say, well, it's helping the passenger because they have to pay less money for a fare now.
That is true.
So believe it or not, a lot of my customers are the working poor.
Okay.
And
they don't have a car.
Exactly. And so the bus might be $3 and take an hour, and you got to stand out in the cold. But with an Uber, it might be $6, and you get there in 15 minutes. So then it becomes, are you willing
to spend... So what's your time worth?
Yes. And a lot of working poor say, you know, hey, I'd rather spend $3 and get an extra 45 minutes with my kids, make some coffee.
Good
and
point.
And, you know, it's worth it, you know, to take an Uber on a cold, snowy day.
Yeah.
Or on a cold day.
Do you ever get the same customers? I mean, you're in a big city like Denver. Do you ever see the same people twice?
I have never, out of 1,000 rides I've given in over 2 years, never had a repeat customer.
That's amazing.
And so it's a huge market. And, you know, it works very efficiently. Whoever's the closest gets pinged.
Right.
And there's a feedback system. So everyone always says I do a good job. And I know that because of the feedback I get. And
what's your rating?
My rating is 4.91.
Nice.
So it's,
now they'll actually cut you off if you go below a certain rating, like 3.6 or
4.7.
Is it 4.7?
Yeah, very high. Because most people give 5 stars; they're very forgiving. But I try to, you know, dress nicely, open the door for them. There's water in the back, and there's chargers for all the phones.
Perfect. That's what people expect, right?
Power. Well, it's not what they get because frequently they'll say, "Man, you have every charger in the back," or "You have a power inverter, and I can plug in my laptop." And you have Pandora. You mean I can pick my own music? And I say, absolutely. Put on whatever you want.
I'd be careful with that one.
What? Because you don't want to hear what other people
want to
listen to?
I don't want to hear any jazz.
Well, you're not the driver, man.
I would
be the
driver.
If you were in his role, you'd want to make your customers happy, wouldn't
you? That's what I do. So
I would play something that is universally accepted.
No, jazz.
Jazz is not
believe
universally
it or not,
accepted.
I actually play Bill Evans jazz as my standard because there's no lyrics, it's not offensive, and if someone doesn't like it, they can change it. And that's what I love about it is I don't have to take my hands off the steering wheel.
No, wait, so how are they going to change it from behind the
I have a smartphone that's velcroed to the back headrest of my car, and then I have a Bluetooth speaker that's really nice, and it pumps out a nice volume tone.
So wait, so they're using your extra smartphone to run Pandora,
yes,
basically?
And exactly.
That's all that's on the phone?
Yes.
Okay. So they can't get in your email account?
Correct. I set it up that way, and it tethers off my Wi-Fi, so it streams live, and
That's awesome.
And they're like, and I have magnetic catches, you know, it's little tiny details.
Little touches, yeah, sure.
Like the cables are not clipped on, they're magnetically mounted, so they can just grab whatever they need, whatever cable they need to charge their phone.
That's so cool.
And they comment, they'll say, wow, you just have really thought of everything. And I say, well, no, if you have any ideas, I'm always willing to listen as an engineer.
Right.
That's what I like to do is take ideas and make them reality.
Now, you are known as a bit of a chatterbox, so do you find that there's some customers do you ask them, hey, do you want to talk or should I stay quiet?
My rule is I will answer their questions. If there's traffic or safety, I will be paused. I'll say, hold that thought for a moment and I'll complete the traffic maneuver that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always happy to talk to my customers. Personally, I prefer to remain silent and focus on the road for safety. But a lot of people just get uncomfortable in the back, and I understand that if you're out of town, you feel alone, and I want you to make you feel welcome to the city of Denver. That's my goal whenever I pick somebody up from the airport, make them feel welcome.
You know how much of a chatterbox I am?
Yeah.
No. When I drive people around, because I do,
you do
Mondays and Tuesday mornings, I drive people around all mornings.
Yeah.
I drop someone off in Keene, West Keene, and I didn't know where I was after I dropped him off.
Because you were talking so much?
I was completely lost. I was just listening to these, like, left, right, and by the time I dropped them off, it's like, oh, crap, where the hell am I? If I didn't have GPS on this phone,
you wouldn't have gotten out of there.
I don't know where I would have. I'd still be out there right now.
Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. I also wanted, you know, customers to be as comfortable as possible, so I'd just ask them straight up when they got in, like, hey, do you want me to talk to you, or do you want me to stay quiet? I'll do whatever you want.
I just start talking about roundabouts.
There's more coming up here. In moments, we'll also tell you about how Uber says they might be able to tell if you're drunk. when you're using your phone to order your Uber. More coming up here in moments. 855 450 free like freedom. This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free. The number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. The Skype username is lrn.fm. Or hop on into the Discord on-air call-in line room, where you'll sound almost like you're sitting in the studio here with us over at discord.lrn.fm. For those that don't know, our Discord is a chat server that is available 24 hours a day. Where you can go and interact with other Free Talk Live listeners, as well as some of the hosts. Conan, you and I, we're in there pretty regularly. I'm in there every single day. There's always something happening in the Discord server. There's different channels. There's one for Free Talk Live. There's a cryptocurrency discussion channel. There's gaming. There's other topics. So you can go there and get interactive. It's free. Go to discord.lrn.fm. You can use their web app, or you can download an app for your smartphone or your favorite computer operating system.
You know, considering that I have this app on every one of my devices.
So do I. Yeah.
I guess I'm always in it.
Yeah.
Something basically is always on, and so it's always running.
So, I know. I check it usually a few times, at least.
So if you try to message me and I don't get back to you till 48 hours later, it's not because I wasn't monitoring Discord. It's just because
you're busy.
Well, no, it's just because they're all on and I'm not monitoring it.
I see. So anyway, it's free. Go to discord.lrn.fm. As we continue here, TJ the Spy back with us is now TJ the Uber driver. And the funny thing is, we actually just had Uber George was in the studio last night. So we've got multiple Uber drivers already here for
Forkfest. Well, if I ever move back to Keene, that'll probably be my profession. I can just
don't tease.
Oh, yes.
You're teasing.
Hey, like we were just talking about, there's no competition right now. There's like two Uber slash Lyft drivers in Keene right now.
There's probably also not a whole lot of demand either, would be my guess.
I think that when they, anytime you talk to anybody about Uber,
mm-hmm.
when I do, I'm like, you have Uber here. And they're like, what? I didn't know we had Uber here. Yeah. I would have checked them first. Or I did check them and there was nothing available.
There. Okay.
So yeah, there are no cars available right now.
Yeah.
But get Friday
market
night.
Opportunity.
Right. Friday night, you'll have competition. But right now, nope.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was just saying this off the air, but I'll say it on the air. If you're in a Uber market that where they've just opened up, and basically they just opened up in Keene last year. It wasn't too long ago. If you are new in that market, what you could do is go and give away the free ride cards. Because if they're still doing this, and you said you didn't know, TJ, but I know that when I was an Uber driver for a short time, you'd have like a recruiting code basically for your, you know, for yourself, basically you could give to customers who are, if they, as long as they had never done Uber before, if it was their first time signing up, they'd get like $10 worth of a free ride.
I never took advantage of that. I didn't know anybody to refer, and I just,
well, and you don't need it in Denver, Colorado. You're just going to be hopping all night at a place
right.
But I'm saying in a new market where people don't know it exists, You print out like business cards. They used to actually give you free business cards with Uber. I don't know if they still do, with your code on it. And then you can just hand those out. Like you go around to bars on the busy nights and just say, hey, here's a free ride from Uber, and just hand them out to everybody in the bar. And so that way you get the awareness that Uber is available and people get a free ride. And if it's Uber subsidizing it, so you still get paid
as the driver. Yeah, you get paid the regular fare.
And Uber just is a subsidy.
Ian, did you mention you knew someone who was doing Uber Eats?
It doesn't exist in this area.
Yeah.
But it's awful. You've heard of people.
Well, hold on. I as a driver do not like Uber Eats because
don't have to do it though, right?
You do not have to, but they've started making it the default, so you have to opt out specifically.
Really?
So you have to call them and mess with tech support for a while and get them to disable it.
So why don't you like it? This is food delivery, right?
Food delivery.
Go to X restaurant, pick up the order.
You stop at a restaurant, pick up the food.
Is the food paid for by the customer?
Yes. Yes.
Just restaurants, or do you actually go to like co-ops and stuff and actually do shopping?
Just restaurants.
And so does that Uber Eats actually exist, the grocery shoppers?
There's a different company called Instacart that does that.
Hmm. Well, Walmart does delivery in Denver. That's, you know, we would just pay the $7, have our $100 or $200 worth of groceries delivered to our front door. And so we were on Amazon is wonderful. Like it's, I love the free market because it works to serve us so well
for sure.
such an efficient way. And,
so what's wrong with Uber Eats though? I want to hear about this.
Well, okay, so Uber Eats is a wonderful service. James and I use it when we don't want to go out.
Rick,
I dislike
Richards
it
over here.
And go ahead. I dislike it as a driver because you have to find a parking spot. You have to go in. And there may or may not be a line. The food may or may not be ready, depending on if the computer is doing its job correctly.
Right. And however long it takes, are you billing for that time or no?
Yeah, you know, I get paid per minute.
Yeah, if you're paid an extra 10 minutes to stand in line, you don't get paid for that 10 minutes?
You know, I haven't bothered to check because it was...
You might be missing out on something.
The thing is, when you look at the statistics... A lot of car damage occurs in the parking lots because you're entering and exiting a vehicle and there are people who are just not paying attention.
Yep. Right. That's why you park on the other side of the parking lot like I do.
That's true, yeah.
And so...
And you run.
I did maybe 10 Uber Eats deliveries and I just was so stressed at the end of them because you had to find parking and a lot of times you couldn't find parking in some of these busy neighborhoods.
I'd also imagine the customers are harder to deal with, right? You're dealing with somebody who's sitting at home. They want to be serviced, right? They want to be waited on.
I think it depends on your personality a lot of times because I like working. I like having the customers just get in my cab. If they don't want to talk to me, they don't have to. They put on music and I drive them to their destination. At the end, they say, thank you for driving me there.
Sure.
And I like the ride. Like I like being a taxi driver.
But if with Uber Eats, if something's messed up, it's going to be your fault to a lot of the customers, right? Like even if the McDonald's or whoever got the order slightly wrong, well now
yes.
You got to take
it back,
right?
That's another thing is you have to check the order. So if people get a $50 order of 10 items, you have to go through each one
and make sure there's sauces.
And if it was a special order, you better make sure there was no pepper on it.
You don't want to be missing the straw when you get to the customer's
exactly.
house.
And that was the thing. It would cut into the time. And so a lot of people choose to just do Uber and Lyft with the passengers and forego. And of course, the free market counters that by raising the prices so that, we'll give you more money if you do Uber Eats. And so there's kind of like this give and take. And it's like, well, at some point, somebody's enough willing to do it enough for the right price.
That's interesting. So, it would definitely seem to me that you're going to deal with more of a picky customer. Whereas if you're just picking up a customer from point A to point B, you have that customer in your car. You've taken them where they want to go. You've satisfied what it is that you're looking for. And if you've got the bonuses, the little perks like you've got in your car, it's going to be a great experience for that customer.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just showing up at somebody's door with a delivery, they don't have any experience with you. You're just the guy showing up with the delivery.
Now, believe it or not, James preferred Grubhub, Uber Eats, and DoorDash because he said, I just don't want to talk to people. So
the
food gets in. It doesn't want to talk to me.
Two different personalities.
Different perspectives on that.
You know, this is exactly why I don't sell clothes on eBay and I stick to selling books and video games on Amazon.
Because they're not going to fit some people.
It's just a whole different world where I don't want to deal with like returns. People trying something on and doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but some of those people are just scamming you. It's just completely different worlds. And I completely understand you. But I like to talk to people as well. And I just go off, you know, the rocker sometimes when I got people in the car.
But you can't do Uber because you got a truck.
It's too old. It's a truck and it's not fuel efficient.
It's too old.
And it's 17 years old and so it wouldn't work.
Yeah. You got to have a four-door sedan.
Four-door sedan or more, and it has to be able to seat four passengers or more.
Four or three?
Four.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So three in the back seat and one.
Three in the back seat and one in the front.
Gotcha.
Or at least
I thought it was three cuz some don't have that middle seat belt, right? Where
I think that Uber Denver, if I specifically remember, I said it had seat five people in the sedan.
Okay.
If you wanted to be an Uber X. And if you had Uber XL was six or more.
Got it. And you're also doing Lyft as well. Are there any differences that are worth talking about? Are they pretty much the exact same?
They're all six of one, half dozen of the other. That's what I love about it is the fact that if people are like, Uber is evil, I say, well, if Uber's evil, work for Lyft. There's competition, you know.
Yeah. Or do what you do and work for both.
Yeah, and exactly.
A lot of them do. A lot of the drivers have both apps on simultaneously.
The guy here in Keene is a Lyft Uber driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I wasn't getting paid enough, I wouldn't be doing it. So the fact that I'm doing it, it implies that it's worth it to me. And if that's the thing is I'm free to quit whenever I want. I don't have to work if I don't want to. I don't know how it's such a beautiful thing, but it has this reputation of being evil. And I said, well
a corporation is not the best corporation in the world. I mean, they kicked me out just because some people apparently called to complain about me, not my passengers, but people, because I had a 5-star
your rating was good,
perfect rating. It was the local haters who called Uber to complain about the fact that I was simply an Uber driver to begin with. And Uber never bothered to ask me a single question in the 9 months they spent supposedly investigating the case, whatever it was, against me. More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us here, 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And DJ the Spy.
Of course, you can bring up anything that you want. We've been talking about driving for ride sharing services like Uber and Lyft. And what sparked the whole conversation was, well, first of all, you are a driver for Uber right now.
That is correct.
TJ, although, if I recall correctly, they only authorize you for certain areas, so you probably able to drive in.
That is correct. I can only do the state of Colorado right now. If I wanted to do New Hampshire, I'd have to
have to notice them about that.
Well, I'd have to, I'd get renewed, my license changed and my registration changed, insurance changed and everything, but it would take like a couple days.
So we're going to get to the story here in just a moment about how Uber apparently has some new technology that's going to allow them to determine whether or not you are drunk by the way you're holding or handling your cell phone.
The driver or the occupants?
The occupants.
Because wouldn't they want to know if the driver is driving drunk as well?
Presumably they would want to know that too. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they've got that too. But we'll get into the story here. But first, we go to your calls and thoughts. We got somebody calling as Anonymous in North Jersey. You're listening somewhere. I'm not real sure where you're at, Anonymous. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to say, I think that First Lady Melania, she had an anti-bully rally in the garden the other day at the White House and touched on cyberbullying. It's very important for parents to be aware. I had dinner with a judge's daughter and a police chief's daughter, and they told me to park my car down the street and be very nonchalant when I come there, discreet.
Hold on. You were having dinner with a judge's daughter and a police chief's daughter at the same time, or these are two different occasions?
They lived about maybe a mile away from me. My dad was a cop. We all got together. Yeah, have dinner. So I was in the house for maybe 20 minutes, and something odd happened. The one girl started getting naked on the table having sex, and I got up to try and leave.
That's odd, all right. So wait, the girl was having sex with the other girl on the table?
And how old were you guys?
There was another guy, and I felt like I was imposing on them. So I got up and started walking away, walking out the door, and I see the soccer moms across the street. I said, oh, yeah, I know that lady, and they started flipping out. Oh, yeah, we have something going on in here. We're running a business, and I tried to hightail it out of there.
Okay, wait a minute. So, Conan, you asked the question, how old were you during this?
Yeah, is this recent, or were you teenagers at the time?
Maybe about 10 years ago. 10 years ago.
Okay.
So it turns out I was going to court for numerous different court cases, and I recorded a phone call. They said, if you send us $10,000, court will go your way. And when I recorded that call, I brought it to the local authorities. And the guy says, look, if anybody finds out about this, we're going to fire you from your job at HSBC. And I was coming in and out of my apartment. I recorded the guy. He says, yeah, we were coming in and out of your apartment. Find that tape. And if anybody finds out, we fire you from HSBC.
So let me see if I'm following what you're saying here. You went to a judge's daughter's house.
And a cop daughter, too, right?
And a cop daughter. Two different women or the same woman?
Two different girls rooming together.
Okay, got it. Sex breaks out in the house. You leave because you feel as though it's awkward.
So who was the son? Who was the dude? Who was he the son of? A politician? Probably a senator.
They said that they were running a business out of the house. And I was like, I'm out of here. So anyway,
and how does that tie into the other part of the story? I'm a little lost.
Afterwards, they were pretty much racketeering and calling the one girl's father was a judge, and they're calling people up asking them for extortion money.
And they said they'd make it go away, whatever it was, other some sort of charges you were facing for some unrelated incident.
In the court, yes.
They said they'd make it go away for $10,000. Now, you didn't believe them. So
I recorded the call.
Yeah, and then you tried to take that to the government, and then the government agents basically told you, screw off, we're not going to help you. In fact, if you keep this going, we're going to hurt you.
He admits on tape he fired me from HSBC. So I brought those tapes.
How would the cops be able to influence whether or not you got fired from HSBC? They're just that corrupt there in Jersey? I mean, I believe it.
Yeah, he did it. I recorded him. He says, look, you know, I go, you guys fired me from HSBC. You were coming in and out of my apartment. He says, yes, we did that. So I recorded that, and I brought the tapes to a Nazarene church down in South Carolina. The pastor there, thank God, he had Pentagon access. I said, I'm out of the 25th Infantry in Schofield Barracks. And he witnessed the tapes, and he says, okay, this guy is going to jail. Who's the girl in the background?
TJ, you don't believe this, do you? You don't believe this, do you?
That's the judge's daughter, and she's telling me to send the money in $5,000 increments.
Oh, no, right now I'm just thinking of ME-52 Psychiatric Services at the National Security Agency. I always had to deal with them.
Uh-huh.
And so anytime they would call me up and say, please come and talk to us, I know I had screwed something up. But anytime we went down there, it's like, oh, no, they're going to think I'm one of the funny people. So I'm just smiling thinking about that.
Thank you for the call tonight, Anonymous. I don't doubt that there is just – I mean, New Jersey, just as a lot of places are, is rife with corruption. There was a recent story that we actually played on the air. I think it was about a week ago. Johnson brought it in where John Stossel actually went to confront a particularly corrupt North Jersey location at a city council meeting where Stossel had uncovered all kinds of just – juicy corruption between the members of the city council and a local businessman who openly brags that if you want to do business in town, you've got to go through him. He runs multiple businesses. He's got his fingers into a bank. He's got his fingers into, property management, all kinds of stuff.
I'm sure at some level it's happening everywhere. We have, half of our council members are lawyers.
Here in Keene.
Salesmen, real estate agents, they're all in it.
Oh, yeah.
They're not in it for individual liberties.
Paycheck.
They're in it for their own gain.
Right. The paycheck, though.
I mean, considering the piece of property that the mayor just sold.
See, I'm not following that. I don't know what that is.
You know, $3 million property up north of me.
Wow.
He knows what he was up to.
So, so whether or not that caller's telling the truth, we obviously have no idea.
I think he's telling the truth in his mind. That's definitely for the...
but it is possible that, this level of corruption does exist in places. Whether or not he has actually experienced it is another question.
Boy, Ian, you would make a terrible spy, because that's actually one of the things that will happen when you go into the spy world. You start seeing these conspiracies everywhere. And so it actually takes out some, potential trainees or recruits, because they can never learn to dial back their suspicion. And I like to say, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. And, sometimes, a company just fires you because they were downsizing.
Sure.
Or because you looked at the boss the wrong way, or just because of no reason at all. But doesn't mean there's a conspiracy out to get you.
Let's go to Vernon in New Orleans. You're on Free Talk Live, listening online. Hello, Vernon.
So Ian was just interviewing TJ the Spy about Uber, and I thought I could pick up that interview just a little bit.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I have a few questions. So, TJ, have you ever had anyone defecate or throw up in your car?
Yet.
I have not. I've given about a little over 1,000 rides, and I've never had anything negative happen like that.
What about really stinky people?
Nope, never really. I've had about maybe 3 or 4 what I call oddballs, where their social graces were probably in need of adjustment, but... I've never, I've had basically drunk people. They're not angry. They're rowdy. And so, they're like, yeah, brr. You got a lot of that. But
sure.
It's not like, screw you, man. And it's like, because you're driving them home. So most people are actually kind of polite and honest,
Vernon?
Do you get a lot of tips?
Do I get a lot of what?
Tips.
I do about 50% of the time.
Which reminds me, you had off the air told us the amount that you're making per hour typically.
Yes.
And you wanted to share that on the air.
Yes, I wanted to. I say after expenses, about $10 to $15 an hour is what I average.
So after gas, after repairs?
After insurance, after all the mileage and everything on the car, oil repair. So yeah, I make about $10 to $15 an hour clear.
And does that include the time in which you're waiting around for a ride?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Yes.
That's pretty good. So plus tips.
Yes. Well, I mean, including tips.
Including tips.
Including tips, I average about 10 to 15 an hour on a consistent basis. So I know that if I work a 10-hour shift, I should get about $150.
And you get to set your hours.
That's the main thing that I love about it. Yeah.
Caller, have you had people vomit and or defecate in your vehicle?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. I have. I'm in New Orleans.
were they stone sober?
In my second ride, and it wasn't even like a party person. I was picking up a family from a wedding, and it was a 15- or 16-year-old person that had just drank way too much. Yes, they did throw up in my car.
Okay, I want to know how somebody defecates in the back of a cab. Like what? I mean, I can understand if somebody loses control of their bowels because for whatever reason, but I mean, did somebody defecate in your car?
No, just throw up.
Okay, because that seems like it'd be a little more difficult, right? Like, first you got to drop trow, and then you got to squat, and then, you know, I mean, the driver's going to notice
unless
that
it was wet and it was dribbling down their pants.
That's
legs.
What I'm saying.
I got one more comic. You
Yeah. Hang on. We'll bring you back here more with TJ, the Uber driver, in the studio with us. And you can take former spy. You can join us here at 855-450, free like freedom, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org. It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll free here. Bring up anything that you want. Our number, 855-450 free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. The Skype username is lrn.fm. And our Discord on air call in line room is available to you as well. Just hop on into that. It's our top chat room in our Discord server, which you can reach by going to discord.lrn.fm. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And TJ the Spy.
We've been talking about Uber driving. TJ joining us again. It has been a while. Too long, TJ, since we've had you on the show. I've missed you. So it's good to have you back, even though it'll be just for a short time, as you're visiting us for ForkFest, which kicks off tomorrow. We are here on ForkFest Eve, which is, by the way, the second edition of ForkFest, the second annual of a decentralized libertarian camping event in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire at Rogers Campground, which we will tell you a lot more about over the next several days because that's where we're going to be broadcasting from. But if you want, you can learn more about that over at forkfest.party, which is the unofficial website for what is, again, an event where there's no tickets. You just go and show up and camp with other libertarians and have a good time, hopefully. Let's go back to the calls here, your calls and thoughts first, and then we can talk about how Uber says they can tell if you're drunk by the way you're handling your phone as a passenger in Uber. Vernon is in New Orleans. Vernon, you're a fellow Uber driver along with TJ here in the studio, and you were frustrated because your second ride out, somebody puked in the back of your car, and TJ, you say you've been doing nighttime driving. But you've had 1,000 rides so far and not one puke.
Not one puke.
Vernon?
Well, good for you. What about surging? Do you think that it's worth your time to be online while it's not surging, or do you kind of focus on surge areas? Does that even matter?
Let's explain what the surge is,
okay.
TJ.
So the surge is Uber's market mechanism for matching supply and demand. So in the event it's snowing out, obviously Uber drivers, we don't want to be driving because we could damage our cars and get in an accident. Mm. We want to go home. But all of a sudden, Uber will start raising their fares. That encourages us to say, hey, you know, I won't risk it for $15 an hour, but for $60 an hour, I'll risk driving in the blizzard conditions.
Yep.
And at the same time, the rising prices says to people, yeah, you know, it's going right now. There's a lot of demand. I think I'll just wait, or I'll just
or
not
walk.
Go. I'll walk. Yeah. You know, I'll take alternative means. So it pushes down demand. So
the customers are aware when the surge happens.
Oh yes, it'll say that right now there's a surge in effect, and
you got to pay twice as much, or three times, or nine times. I believe is the maximum. Right?
You know,
is it nine?
I don't know what the theoretical maximum is, but okay. I've seen a maximum of five is the highest I've ever seen it. But
sometimes this will not just be like snow conditions. It's any conditions in which the demand is higher
than
the
Red
available
Rocks
supply.
Theater in Colorado, it's a beautiful place, but when there's a thing there, you'll see a big red splotch right up on the west side of Denver, and you know that there's a Red Rocks concert going on.
So if you hang out in that area, you're going to get some
and
big
Uber
money.
Uber and Lyft will tell you when the big events are happening. They'll say, hey, there's a Rockies game going on downtown. It ends at 9 p.m., so there's going to be a huge surge. You might want to head down there now. The answer to my question is I usually drive not during the surges, but I usually drive during the rush hour because I find those pay more per hour on average than during the day. But more important than that to me is the quality of the time I'm spending in the cab. If I'm going to spend 10 hours in my car, I prefer to deal with like airport passengers because they're not drunk usually. They're usually it's a long fare.
Yeah, you got to pay a lot of money in an airport to get drunk.
Yeah. And the best part is, you know, there's like a 2-hour wait for an airport fare. So I get to queue up and wait in the parking lot for 2 hours and read a book. So I'm getting paid, you know, $10 an hour to sit and read a book that I really want to read.
Yeah, but you don't get paid when you don't have a fare.
No, I'm averaging out the amounts. So it'll be a $40 fare, and if it's like a 2-hour wait and a 1-hour fare, then you just kind of do the math. But the answer, my friend, I say it's more important to focus on instead of the money is do you enjoy doing it? And as long as you don't feel distressed or miserable, then I would say do what makes the most money. But the most important thing, if you're miserable at the end of every shift, that's not going to last very long. You're going to you're gonna burn yourself out. You understand?
Right, yeah, that's exactly right. Do we have time for a couple more questions?
Go ahead for TJ, the Uber driver.
Do you like driving in severe weather? Here, they shut down every interstate, every road. Doesn't even matter. I mean, it only snows a quarter of an inch every 10 years. But when it does, there's nothing going on.
Right.
So I was just curious if you like driving in the weather, and I'm sure you all can handle snow a lot better than we could.
Oh, yes, it clears out. I personally do. My favorite time to drive is at night because the traffic's really low. And so if you make a mistake, it's very forgiving. If you're in the middle of the daytime in downtown Denver, you better know where the heck you're going and what lane you want to be in because it's jam-packed.
No forgiveness.
Oh, no, very little. Horns everywhere.
Have you ever had anyone want to smoke in your car? And then I have a comment.
Smoke what?
Weed or
anything.
Smoke, yeah. Actually, I'm very forgiving, so I say
of course, Colorado is one of the legal states.
My rule is if you want to smoke pot in my car, go right ahead, my good sir. If you want to smoke a real cigarette, not an e-cigarette, but if you want to smoke a real cigarette in my car, sure, try not to get any ashes. Just blow the smoke and ashes out the window.
Now, that could upset other customers, though, right?
Well, I have Febreze, and so I descent the car afterwards, but I would rather...
Does that actually cover it, though?
That doesn't work.
Well, it works well enough. I haven't had any complaints, but I would rather have a customer enjoy a cigarette in my car than to have them grumpy because they couldn't smoke in my car. So I've had that like 3 or 4 times. They said, "Can I smoke in your car?" I said, "Absolutely, my good sir."
Interesting.
And that's just my preference.
Well, it sounds like you are very accommodating. It sounds like I could bring my girlfriend back there and mess around if I wanted to.
Has that happened?
The weirdest thing that's ever happened.
Actually, this might be opportunity. That right there.
Yeah.
Don't they have like the sex cabs?
Like a Joe Conforti who ran the Mustang Ranch before he was a taxi driver out there in Vegas. But where was I going?
Sex in the back of the cab.
Oh, yes. The weirdest thing I've ever had happen is two British gentlemen got in the back, and they said, "Pardon me, we don't mean to offend you."
But they were like Grey Poupon?
Yeah, well, they were like 30 years old, and they were on, you know, visiting from the UK. But they said, "Do you know where we could get any cocaine?" And I said, "Well, hold on. Okay, Google. Show me a list of all cocaine arrests here in Denver." Showing a list for all cocaine arrests here in Denver. And it would show me where all the – I said, "Well, it looks like we can go down to Colfax, and there's a lot of arrests down there, so I'm assuming." And so we did. We drove down onto Colfax, and we would just go up, "Hey, man, do you got any good
– Yo, you holding?
Holding.
Yeah.
And what are you looking for?" You know, and so
– Did they score the cocaine?
They did.
That's amazing. You are the best Uber driver.
Of course he had to ask Big Brother where it was at, so you just letting the feds know where you're at.
Hey, thanks for the call,
and what
Vernon.
You're up to and what you're doing.
Ian, real quick. For the recorded shows, please, I don't mean this mean, but please don't make it sound like an infomercial. Talk about some current events or something, because I love listening to y'all's recorded shows while you're gone. And I'm so glad you get a vacation, but please just add some other content besides interviewing other businesses and stuff. Thank you very much.
Okay. I guess you're talking about the upcoming ForkFest. We don't really do business interviews, but we do talk to the people who are at the events, and sometimes they're doing things. So, like, we're going to definitely talk to the guy who runs Liberty.menu. But if there's something in the news and we can't ignore it, we'll talk about it. But there you go. So here's a story from Yahoo and The Telegraph. For many commuters who've had one too many after work, Uber has been a godsend, allowing over-the-limit passengers to stumble into a cab and get dropped off outside their door at the touch of a button. But those days could be numbered after the taxi app has invented a system for detecting drunk passengers and alerting drivers before they're picked up. A patent submitted by Uber details a system that uses artificial intelligence to identify passengers exhibiting unusual behavior and could even choose to deny them a ride if they are acting uncharacteristically.
What if that's just their nature? What if they're just kind of bobbly, hobbly people?
And good point. Somebody commented on the article saying, hey, I've got Parkinson's disease.
Exactly.
Going on here, though, according to the patent, the algorithm would be able to look out for the user making typos, not precisely clicking on links and buttons, the way they are holding the phone, their walking speed, and how long it takes them to request the ride. The system, branded a tool for predators by experts, will also look out for factors such as the time of day and where a ride is requested to determine a passenger's state. For example, it may decide if a user is drunk if they're walking down a street that has a nightclub in the early hours of the morning on a weekend while clumsily typing. Now, of course, I have to ask, you know, why you would want to deny these people a ride. Ultimately, these are the bread and butter of the nighttime Uber business,
and
right?
And as far as servicing the community, this is what you're for. You're keeping these knuckleheads off there, out of their cars.
Right, right. You're keeping people from making serious errors and getting behind the wheel. In fact, when Uber comes into areas, you see that it's correlative, but DUIs go down. It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Join us here on the radio. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. Our Discord on-air call-in line room is available to you over at discord.lrn.fm. And, of course, we'll take your calls about what you want. We've been talking about Uber. They apparently now have a patent that they filed to determine whether or not the users of their program are drunk. And there's some people who are saying this is not a good thing. Uber is actually, their suggestion here is they might actually use it to deny people the ability to get a ride, which just doesn't make any sense why they would do that. I think that's speculation on the part of the people looking at the patent. I don't think Uber has said we're going to deny people rides because they're drunk. But we'll get into back into the story here in a moment. I do want to let you know about Liberty.menu. If you are a liberty-oriented person, if you're an individual who rejects the initiation of force and agrees to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle, and you want to find other businesses that have that same viewpoint, then Liberty.menu is the place to go. It is a Liberty-friendly business directory. It also has events listings and digital content listings as well. So ForkFest has its own category there, and the different things that are happening at ForkFest, you can actually add whatever. So if you decide, TJ, during ForkFest, if you're going to have your Ross Ulbricht letter writing event at a specific time and day, you could go and create an event and put it under the ForkFest category at liberty.menu, and it's completely free to do this. So whatever your business is, you can list them all over at liberty.menu, and it's free. Now, you can pay for some upgrades if you need to, but they're the basic level site. You can totally do it for free, which is awesome, and it works well. It's a nice-looking site, and the founder of Liberty.menu is going to be at ForkFest himself. So check it out. Liberty.menu, if you want, you can use code FTL, and you can get a special badge for your user profile, which will let people know you're a Free Talk Live listener. That's Liberty.menu. As we continue here, the story saying that Uber has filed a patent that is allegedly going to use artificial intelligence to determine whether or not you are drunk if you are a wannabe passenger on Uber. And they may deny you for a ride. Or drivers could be alerted of their passenger state, and riders acting in an especially strange manner may only be matched with drivers with relevant experience or training. So maybe what they'll do is they'll allow drivers to decide, I'm willing to deal with drunks, or I don't want to deal with drunks. And then they'll use this new sorting system to sort of pre-sort a rider as to whether or not they believe they are drunk. And again, they're looking at how they're walking. Are they near a bar? Are they messing up their texting?
Well, how long before the government gets a hold of this technology and just starts issuing you a $500 public intoxication fine on your smartphone? Because
that's a scary concept. I hope that never happens, but it's a good question. Drunk riders may also be presented with an alternative version of the app and a user interface on the app. The app may change the pickup or drop-off location to somewhere safer or more accessible, such as a well-lit main street. It could also prevent the passenger from joining shared rides, which kind of makes sense, right? Like if you...
That has happened, and I will say that is if you have a drunk passenger on an Uber pool, mm-hmm. where you can get a little cheaper fare if you're willing to carpool with someone, a right. random stranger, and... you know, if you have someone who's really intoxicated in the back and then, you know, a businessman gets in and he's having to share with and you say, well, sir, this is an Uber pool. You knew the risk. Of right. when you saw, you wanted the cheaper fare. If you want the higher fare Uber X, then it's just you.
Right.
But
and there's a risk that the cheaper fare could result you in sitting, you know, next to a drunk guy who could puke on you. So
yes.
you know, there's a risk there.
Oh, yeah.
I could also, it says here, it's not presently known whether the system detailed in the patent, which was filed in December of 2016 by the San Francisco company, will come into action on the app. Experts fear it may allow drivers to undertake drunk hunting and manipulate fare prices to take advantage of a user's state. Well, those experts obviously don't know what they're talking about because you don't get to set the fare on Uber.
Correct.
Uber sets
the
fare. Now,
and you can accept it or deny it.
Right. Now, Uber may decide to charge drunk people more, which is fine as far as I'm concerned, because you got to clean up a mess.
That is a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. On the other hand, there is certain, letting drunk people get home safely is part of my job. It's part
sure.
of the feel-good part. So, like, there's the money, of course, but there's also the knowledge that I'm helping poor people get to their jobs. I'm helping drunk people get home safely. So there's that aspect of the job that's kind of rewarding as well.
He says, so the supposed expert, a professor from the Cass Business School in London, says, quote, this opens up the opportunity for drivers to identify drunk passengers and potentially take advantage of it. It could lead to the possibility of some drivers avoiding drunk passengers and, in the worst cases, drunk hunting. It may also make journeys safer for drunk passengers. So if they know who's a risky driver, they might prevent that unsafe driver from picking up vulnerable riders. It could mean that they offer different prices for drunk passengers, which means Uber could take advantage of a user's state to charge them more. But the fact is, Uber does offer you a drunk cleanup fee. If you are mm-hmm. a driver
yeah, that is correct.
And a drunk person pukes in the back of your car, as I recall, you've got to take a picture of the puke. And then take a picture of the cleanup effort,
yeah.
I suppose, and then send that into Uber, and they will send you a drunk fee, basically, for having to do that extra
yeah.
work.
I've never had to take advantage of that.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. But that would be a good reason to charge a little bit more for the drunks, right? Like a little insurance fee.
Yeah, I would just like, well, I just, the reason is drunks, of course, there's like three classes of drunks, your happies, your sads, and your angries, or your rowdies.
And, or you're passed out.
Honestly, I'd prefer the passed out drunk because when you get rowdy, I mean, it's just like, and it's hard to drive when you're trying to focus on them
yeah.
in the back and making sure they don't destroy your setup.
Right.
Yeah.
John Boyd, spokesperson for Taxi Cab Limousine and Paratransit Association, said, quote, Uber will say this is a way to protect passengers, but this does just the opposite. The very pursuit of this patent is a prime exhibit of how Uber wants to breach and exploit your privacy. He says, we know they can't be trusted to handle such nuclear material when it comes to your private and sensitive information. Now, of course, this guy's with the taxi cab industry, right? So the taxi industry...
He's got nothing to lose.
...hates Uber.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
they will attack them at every opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Have you experienced
TJ,
any of that?
Have you run across any irate...
No. We actually...
horse and buggy drivers who are trying to...
No, cab drivers respect... I mean, we're not... I mean, we cater to a different clientele. We're not allowed to pick up street fares. The cabs are. And so with Uber and Lyft, you have to summon us in order to pick you up. But no, I've never had any irate competition. And I think it's because here's the thing. The cab drivers, if Uber pays better, they'd be working for Uber.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that if you're a cab driver, you're working for a cab, there has to be something about that job, be it the benefits or the boss. Maybe you like the boss that you work with, or maybe you like the car, or you just like, I don't know. But there are many reasons to accept a job, and generally the money is not the most important reason you should accept a job.
the toll-free number if you want to join us on the radio here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Of course, you can bring up what you want. On the way, Canada getting ready to become the first G7 nation to make marijuana legal across the entire country.
Is Vincent still the former host who's Canadian?
He is. He's currently not in Keene. He's on summer break from college. So Vincent's actually hosting his own show now on Saturday nights on LRN.FM. So he'll be doing that this weekend.
Oh, good. Well, I need to ask him if he'd be willing to marry me for Canadian citizenship. Just kind of.
Really?
Well, you know, it's
Wait,
always.
You want to be a Canadian citizen is what you're saying?
Well, yeah, because, you know, you never can be too careful. You need to have backup in case the U.S., you know, collapses.
He might be willing to do it. I mean, he is a starving college boy. You never know. Those guys will do anything for money.
Speaking of, when we come back from the break, I have some questions about some vocabulary.
Okay, gotcha.
That you might be able to help me with.
What kind of vocab?
We'll get there.
We'll get to it. All right, more coming up here in moments. 855-450, free like freedom, whether it's driving or pot or... LRN.FM now has a Discord. Discord is a free text and voice chat platform, and we now have our own server with a bunch of channels at discord.lrn.fm. You can join other listeners as they chat about various things during our live shows, or anytime, day or night. Discord software is available cross-platform, so you can have it on whatever device you want and take your chats anywhere. Join our Discord at discord.lrn.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free, take control of the airwaves, and bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And our Skype username is lrn.fm, so feel free to reach out to us in either of those ways. And also our Discord on-air call-in line room. Go to discord.lrn.fm. You can hop into the chat rooms that we have there, and they're always hopping. There's always people in there talking during the show, and sometimes they have voice chats after Free Talk Live is over. So get on over to discord.lrn.fm. If you're into cryptocurrency, you probably gotten into Bitcoin when you started, but now you might be looking at some of the alternatives, the altcoins as they're called. What do you get? Where do you look? There's a lot of options. There's over 1,500 choices just at CoinMarketCap alone, listing so many different choices. You couldn't possibly spend the time that you would have to look at them all. So we suggest you start with Zencash if you love liberty. If you're a voluntarist, Zencash was made by people like you, people who understand the ideas of voluntary interaction. It's right there in their white paper. You can see it for yourself at Zencash.com. They are they've got a very secure node system. There's over 11,000 secure nodes, and those secure nodes get paid in Zen in order to run their secure nodes, and that makes them the number two most number two on the rankings of who has the most nodes in the entire world. So they've got even more than the Bitcoin system does. So very, very cool stuff. And they've got privacy, some of the best technology out there for privacy, the zero-knowledge anonymity privacy system over at Zencash.com. Go there, learn more about it, and get started at Zencash.com. As we continue here, we've got TJ the Spy in the studio now. He's TJ the Uber driver, and we've been talking about all things Uber-related here tonight since we have you here. Conan, you said you had a question for TJ,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's nice to have TJ in because he might have some answers for me, finally, because this is something I've been going over.
Go right ahead. I've thought it over, and I believe I have an answer for you.
Okay,
question.
Here.
He hasn't asked on the air yet.
In our vocabulary, we have two terms. Mm-hmm. We have the twink, mm-hmm. and a twink is usually a young, attractive gay man.
Yes.
And he is usually lavished with gifts.
Yes.
All right. And then we also have the term cougar, mm-hmm. who is an older woman who goes after a younger man. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have the reciprocal of those two terms?
Well, I actually,
what is the opposite of a twink? What is the opposite of a cougar?
A twink would be a daddy. The one who chases the twink is the daddy or the sugar daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And for the cougar, we typically have the sugar toy, the
sugar
boy,
baby,
sugar baby, or a boy toy, or yeah, you know that
boy toy, that's
boy
a
toy
good one.
Yeah, you like the boy toy one?
Well, I'm not a cougar. I'm just saying that one sounds good to me.
But they never come up. They make sense. You know, it's the sugar baby, the sugar daddy.
Yeah,
they make sense, but they don't ever really come up in conversation. But the cougar and the twink, they're always available.
I don't know. Like, what kind of conversations are you getting into, Conan? Where you're like, you know, there was this cougar and twink that I once knew, And just like at the school board meeting, do you bring these terms up? Like,
actually, I've been hit on by cougars, and I have been the twink. I'm not gay, but I have been in that predicament.
Okay, gosh, I gotcha.
Where some older gay men were trying to hit on you, yeah.
Well, you know, they have the gay for pay thing now. That's becoming more popular with the younger generation. Apparently, when I was older, it was very simple.
Is that another Uber service?
No. You know, gosh darn it. When I was younger, things were so simple. You had gay, straight, and bisexual if you kind of wanted to play both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have transgender and pansexual and metrosexual, and they have all these terms. And I get
everyone wants to be unique, and they want to be individual, and so they got to come up with their own stuff. It's getting out of hand, really.
And honestly, I just, you know, my position on sexual orientation has always been the individual should do what's best for them, regardless of what I think.
Including making money off of their situation?
It's kind of an interesting question. If there's a straight guy who comes to me and says, dude, I'm a convicted felon, I can't get a job, I need a car. And you know, I'm like, well, that's kind of a big favor. What do you have to offer me? And they don't have any collateral, no job skills, no
just
service.
Just their body.
And I can say, you know, you can offer something to me that would make me incredibly happy. And I can offer something to you that will make you incredibly happy and better off because you can have a car. And nobody needs to know about it. And if they do, who cares? Because guess what? It was a
volunteer. You got a car.
You got a car. And so that was the thing. What if somebody finds out that I did this? And I say, take the check that I wrote for you for $5,000 and just say, ha, you know, and laugh all the way to the bank.
Wave it in their face,
you know. And so that's one of those things that – and by the way, I love it how with Stormy Daniels – $130,000 to keep quiet about Donald Trump having sex. So apparently in this country, if you accept sex, pay money for sex, you're an awful, evil person. But if you get paid a lot of money,
you're smart.
Sex, then you're smart and shrewd and savvy.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, double standard there.
Hey, let's go to Sarah. She's in New Mexico. Sarah, would you describe yourself as a cougar?
I'm almost 50, but I'm just celibate. I just I have to
respect
the Lord.
To that.
You know something? I am held to a different standard. You know, you guys could date and have fornication or whatever, but I'm not allowed to do all that.
I understand.
So now, is it a religious choice?
Well, you know something? The Lord expects me to be in marriage, to be in sex, and I'm too mentally ill. I have OCD. I'm not capable of having a healthy relationship. I have trust issues, so I just stay celibate. That's the way that I like to be. But I just want to bring up a little bit off of, did you know that Canadians were always going to vacations and have Havana, Cuba? That was one of the resort destinations.
It has been legal for Canadians to travel to Cuba. Yeah, that's been the case.
Well, they were going in vacations there, and I learned that from this show. There was a Canadian as one of the hosts. Like, he has family in Canada, and he says, well, they used to go to vacation in Havana and go to their hotels.
That was on this show? On Free Talk Live?
Yeah, on this show. I don't know who, one of your guests.
Well, Vincent, who's our young Vincent from Canada, that may have been him. I don't recall the episode. I don't think we've ever had another Canadian co-host here.
Oh, you know what? I think it sounded like a really young guy. It must have been him.
Could be.
And then,
well, what makes you bring it up though? I mean, you know, Cuba. Was there some news or something that brought this to your mind?
Well, the thing is, recently, you know, Trump has been wanting to sanction Canada. Did you know that?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Tariffs, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about sanctions.
Well, they want to, yeah, because they're turning communist. They had like 91 Communist Party members run for parliament. They were trading partners with.
Well, people running for parliament doesn't mean they're winning parliament. How many of the communists actually won seats in Canada's parliament?
I really don't know.
Yeah, so you don't get to say that Canada's becoming communist. That'd be like us saying that New Hampshire, that the United States is becoming libertarian because the libertarians run a few hundred candidates every year. I mean, they never win. They get 2% or whatever, and they don't have a chance.
Justin Trudeau, man, he's
pretty lefty.
Yeah, he's pretty left.
Yeah, I'm not saying Canada's not leftist. I'm just saying, are they straight up commie?
And they're not doing very well in the free speech market either.
That's my one.
You know, they're doing that soccer cup. They were Mexico and Canada was invited to the World Cup. So and Russia is very much involved with this soccer tournament, like World Cup. So, you know, what does that tell you? You know, like Canada is on the axe list with Trump, and they're invited to the World Cup, and Russia is running it, or so something like that. So, what I'm saying is that Canada has a very much of a communist influence that I'm beginning to learn a lot more on this show.
Well, maybe you should move to Canada. I mean, have you thought about that?
Well, you know what? I have a more important job of teaching people about communism here because I turned communist in Boston.
But wait a minute. If Canada is having this communist surge, if you will, then wouldn't it mean that it'd be easier to teach people if there's more commies around in Canada for you to work with and you could work together on things? I think you should give it some serious consideration. Maybe move up to Vancouver or something like that.
I think you need to have a job to move to Canada from out of
country. Good point. She's on welfare, so I don't know if they're going to want her. Hey, thanks for the call here tonight, Sarah. Coming up here, we've got a special guest for the Edgington Post that we're going to wrap the show out with, and then we'll be at ForkFest starting tomorrow. See you then.
All right, it's another edition of the Edgington Post Show, and I have with me Heather Bowden. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
Excellent. And you're from Conservatives Questioning the Death Penalty?
Sure. It's Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty.
All right. One doesn't generally think of conservatives as the sort of people that are concerned with the death penalty. I've been on the on talk radio for a long time, and if somebody calls in and disagrees with my stand on the death penalty, which is anti-death penalty, they generally are not, they're not liberals, right? they're usually conservative. God, guts, and guns, right? You're responsible for your actions.
That's right, and it's very interesting, Mark, because we're seeing lots of conservative and libertarian folks who are reconsidering their stance on the death penalty, many who maybe supported the death penalty for all of their lives and are sort of rethinking the issue and thinking about things like the cost of the death penalty. And folks are often shocked to know that every cost study ever conducted has shown that the death penalty is far more expensive than any other sentence. So as fiscal conservatives, folks are concerned about that. We talk about innocence and the fact that innocent
people are convicted.
Well,
let's go into the cost first.
Go ahead. Before
we get into innocence, let's just talk about the cost, because conservatives love to talk about cost. When we talk about dollars and cents here, obviously custody on death row is going to cost a bit more than custody elsewhere, but there's already people on death row. So an individual being added to that group is really just another bologna sandwich three times a day, right?
That's what people think. And I hear people really question me when I make that statement that the death penalty is more expensive than life without parole, because it's very counterintuitive. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But what folks don't understand, and what I didn't know until I started doing this work, is that actually the majority of the cost comes in the initial trial process. And so in a death penalty case, there are two trials instead of one. There's your normal trial process to determine guilt or innocence. And then there's an entirely separate trial phase that is the sentencing phase in a death penalty case. So that's incredibly expensive, and oftentimes that cost is burdened on counties. So we've seen counties, there was a county in Montana that was nearly bankrupted by a single death penalty case. Wow. So it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah. And let's not forget all the mandatory appeals that go into things, too. Obviously, conservatives want to say things like, well, the death penalty should, once given, should be enacted within 45 minutes or whatever the claim is. But we live in the real world, and in the real world, we deal with these mandatory appeals and those sorts of things.
That's right. And they're in place for a reason. I mean, we know that there have been over 160 people who've been exonerated from death rows across our country since the 70s. So we make mistakes. You know, I've got
humans
to know
make
several
mistakes, turns out.
That's right. That's right. I mean, who knew that our government does not run perfectly and that, you know, that we have an error-prone system. And so that's scary. And I think you're seeing a lot of conservatives and particularly libertarians who say, wait a minute, we have a problem here. We need to take a step back.
Yeah, I think in many ways, conservatism is the parent of libertarianism. I'm not saying that libertarianism is a conservative ideology. I came from the side of things where I'm looking at stuff from a financial standpoint. I believe that taxes should be low, that business functions better when there's less of a burden of government on them from a taxation side and a regulation side. And the death penalty is just, from a cost standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. There's not much evidence that it's successful in the area of sort of reducing crime. There's some, like you can point to some, but not much. And, you know, there's these, then you have to ask, is it worth all of that money versus just life in prison, which is a really crappy thing to have happen to you, right? Life in prison is awful. And the death penalty presumably is awful, but we really don't know what goes on after death. Obviously, keeping somebody on death row for 10 years or something like that is about as awful as it could be. I think if anybody chose their own death, the last thing they would choose would be like, I'd like to be incapacitated for 10 years and then die. And so maybe it fits into the area of cruel and unusual. That might that might be debatable depending on how people view it. So let's talk about innocence now.
Yes. So as I said, this is an incredible problem that we have. And I think even when I started this work, I would have told you, yeah, I'm sure there are some folks who are actually innocent and who are sentenced to death. But I had no idea of the numbers. And we're talking about one person for every 10 people who are executed is innocent. Those are significant odds. You know, those are startling statistics. As conservatives and libertarians, we say that this is not acceptable, that we know that this system is run by human beings, and therefore we can't have a system in place that takes away life, right? I mean, that's the ultimate punishment and the ultimate power that we give to our government.
Yeah. When somebody advocates for the death penalty, they generally, the first thing that they do is they say something to the effect of, well, imagine if you're related to the victim. What if it was your mother? What if it was your daughter? What if it was, you know, somebody else? Obviously, we have to look at things from an emotional standpoint. Emotions are important. But imagine if you were incarcerated. Imagine if you were the mother of somebody who was incarcerated wrongly for 10 years and then executed, because that happens 1 out of 10 times. And to advocate for this inefficiency, because somebody can be let out of prison. I mean, obviously you can't give them the years of their life back, but they can be let out of prison, and usually they will express gratitude for that. They may be upset about the time they lost, but they're going to be grateful for the time that they're getting free. You cannot bring somebody back from the dead, and frankly, no one cares once somebody's executed whether or not they're innocent. One's looking.
That's right. And that's a great point, because oftentimes I get asked that question, well, how many people have been executed who are innocent? And the truth is, we will never know. There aren't folks who are going around trying to dig up evidence on these cases where a person has already been executed. And so we have no idea, you know, of those numbers. But Mark, you bring up a good point, and one that I hear very often when I'm at places like CPAC and other conferences, tabling and talking to conference goers. You know, people do want to talk about victims, right? I mean, we want to talk about how do we take care of victims' family members after a homicide happens? And as a mother, I have 2 daughters, and I certainly understand that emotion, like you said, and that sort of vengeance, and that, you know, if somebody hurt my children, I certainly would feel that gut level reaction to want to harm that person. But what I have found when I've talked to murder victims' family members all over the country is that the death penalty is actually harmful to family members who've lost a loved one because of the appeals process that you named. This goes, you know, they're promised this closure that will happen, and that they're going to feel better and justice will be carried out. And the fact of the matter is, oftentimes the person who is sentenced to death ends up with a different sentence anyway, or dies of natural causes. So we give this very false promise that is harmful to victims' family members.
And let's not forget when somebody's sentenced to life, whatever the case may be, the victims have an opportunity to come to closure on their own terms. I mean, that has to happen, or it doesn't happen. I mean, whatever, they have to come to that on their own terms. No one can make that happen for them. And the system that we have now, and remember, you don't get to design a new death penalty system. You have to deal with the one that we have today. And the one we have today is suboptimal in just about every way that imaginable. So what we have today is that the victims are constantly badgered about, can you want to come to this court case? Do you want to sit here? Do you want to make sure that this is executed? You know, like they're always being updated on what's going on with the case, with the mandatory appeals and all that stuff. And then finally the execution. The wound is just kept open for 10 or 15 years. And then supposedly you're going to get closure at the end.
That's right. And I've talked to so many family members who say, if I had known that this system was going to go this way, I would have said absolutely not, take the death penalty off the table. And you see cases, in the case of the Boston bombing, you saw the parents of the five-year-old boy who was killed. They wrote a piece in I think it was the Boston Globe, where they said, please take the death penalty off the table. We don't want to go through this anymore. And oftentimes those requests from victims' family members are denied. And so we can't stand here and say that we care about the needs of victims' family members when we're not listening to what they actually want and need.
Yeah, the Boston bombing was probably one of the most interesting cases in recent history because it occurred in a state where the death penalty no longer exists, I believe.
Right.
But since it was a federal case, the death penalty was on the table. So then they had to get a jury of their peers, which means geographically drawing from Massachusetts for whatever reason. We're not here to talk about the jury system, but drawing people from Massachusetts where a lot of people don't believe in the death penalty for whatever reason. So they were excluded. So I mean, it was a really odd situation where they're trying to draw from a group of people who presumably generally don't believe in the death penalty, and then excluding those and just taking the ones that do. Very strange stuff. I've got to say, when the verdict came down on that one for the younger guy, that I, you know, like in my heart, I said, good, you know, I mean, I just viscerally, that's how I felt about that situation. But I know. And like this isn't about emotion. This is putting your emotions aside for a minute. And this is what conservatives are supposed to be good at. We are supposed to be logical and not, you know, Russia's always talking about how everybody else is, all the Democrats, how they feel about a situation. Well, if you're upset about the way people feel about a situation, engage your brain and we can talk about the logical conclusions here and what makes the most sense. To hear the rest of this great interview, go to archives.freetalklive.com and get the MP3. Look for today's date there and download or just listen on the web, archives.freetalklive. And we're back with the interview. If you're upset about the way people feel about a situation, engage your brain and we can talk about the logical conclusions here and what makes the most sense. And dragging the victims through this doesn't.
That's right. And we have plenty of supporters of our national group, you know, our National Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty group, who philosophically and theoretically have no problem with the death penalty. But because of these problems that we've named, because of innocence, because of cost, because of the harm to victims' family members, they say that it's just not worth it. We're not gaining anything by having this system on the books. And so it's time to take it off. So I think that's been really interesting to see, too, you know, folks who are ready to take the emotion out of it and say, I don't want to legislate based on that gut level reaction that I feel. I want to be smart about this. I want to make good public policy decisions.
I think that, you know, for me, what was most convincing to me when I read John Grisham's The Chamber. So I was pro death penalty before that. And there's actually video of me out there advocating for the death penalty as a young man. I don't know, you know, where that video is. I've never seen it online and, you know, never pursued it really. But I know that it happened. And, you know, when it came to this, I saw that there wasn't much of a deterrent and there was a, you know, significantly more cost. Most of that cost is legal stuff, not incarceration itself. But you got to consider, I mean, every state's got a death house. Every state's got a death row that has these things, not every state. And they have to employ special officers that are under special circumstances and all those things. And no doubt there are people that deserve the death penalty, but this isn't about deserving. They're still getting to my mind, a pretty terrible sentence, which is life in prison. And lastly, if you advocate for the death penalty, you're advocating for 1 out of 10, just on average, one innocent person for every 9 guilty people that are executed. Well, that's just advocating for murder. And then you deserve the death penalty.
That's right. I mean, it's a very problematic system, and we have folks who are pro-life who come to the table, and you sometimes you hear, well, I'm pro-life, but I'm only pro-life when it comes to innocent life. So that did not include people who have committed terrible crimes.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But then when you look at the fact that there are plenty of innocent people who've been convicted and sentenced to death as well, we have people in the pro-life community who are saying, wow, I get it, you know, that we're talking about taking innocent life with the death penalty as well. And to me, you know, it is a matter of public safety, right? As you said, Mark, if there's a way to separate people from society, because I do believe there are obviously people in this world who are dangerous, who should not be able to live among us, right?
Right.
So is there a way for us to separate them from society without taking away their lives? And the answer is yes. And you also mentioned, you know, states that have, that have death rows, that have death chambers. An interesting thing about a state like New Hampshire is that New Hampshire doesn't currently have an execution facility. And I think I saw somewhere that there's a cost estimate of $1.2 million to build that execution chamber.
Right.
And
it's important to note that in New Hampshire, we haven't had an execution since I think it was 1929. It was well before the vast majority of denizens of New Hampshire were alive. And that means that, and I'm not sure, you know, there's other states like Oklahoma and Texas where they take executing as a sport. But in New Hampshire, we don't have a death penalty. We've got a joke. We've got a dog and a pony show.
That's right. And so why on earth would you dump $1 million into something like that? I mean, I, as a taxpayer, I don't live in New Hampshire. I live in Michigan, but I can certainly think of a lot of better ways to spend that $1 million than on building an execution chamber. So that's something that people in New Hampshire should pay attention to. You know, how are your tax dollars being used, and is it worth it?
Absolutely not. Heather, are there any other points that you wanted to make on this topic before I let you go?
I don't think so. I mean, I really appreciate you having me on, Mark. And if folks want to learn more about conservatives concerned about the death penalty and what we do, we would sure love to be in touch. We have a website. It's www.conservativesconcerned.org. And we're on Facebook and Twitter. And our numbers are growing. And we have a presence in a lot of states around the country. So we would love to connect with folks who are interested.
That is one last thing that I was kind of thinking about is that I would imagine, I don't know everything about the Democratic Party, but I would imagine that it's sort of a platform for them, that the death penalty just needs to be gotten rid of for whatever reason it is that they think that it should be gotten rid of. So therefore, the Democrats that support the death penalty are outsiders, whereas with Republicans, I would presume that there are certainly state party platforms that include the death penalty would be my guess, and that therefore the conservatives that advocate against the death penalty, they're sort of the outsiders. Would you hazard a guess as to how many people who would self-identify as conservative and say that they, either don't support the death penalty or pretty sure they don't support it?
That's a great question that you bring up, Mark. And I would say, first of all, there's the most recent Gallup poll showed a 10-point drop in a year for conservative support on the death penalty, which is really interesting. So we're seeing a shift amongst conservatives away from the death penalty. Our group recently released a report called The Right Way that shows the surge of Republican lawmakers who have sponsored death penalty repeal legislation. And so that's happening. I mean, we're seeing a lot more Republican legislators who are championing death penalty repeal. And in fact, just last night, there was a primary race in Montana for the U.S. Senate seat. And there were two sort of front runner Republican candidates. And one is publicly against the death penalty and the other is not. And in fact, the one who's against the death penalty was attacked for his position. Yet he still won. He will be on the ballot in Montana as the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate. And he has voted against the death penalty time and time again. He's been vocal. He's been at press conferences in the state. So that did not hinder him from winning that race. And so I think that's an example to say that, you know, there are Republicans all over the country who are standing up against the death penalty, and it's not harming them politically whatsoever. And they're not considered outliers anymore. That's changing.
That's one of the things about the death penalty that, to me, like, I don't consider it the most important issue that generally any electorate is facing, right? I mean, this is just sort of a peripheral issue that people like to talk about. Everybody's got an opinion on the death penalty, but very few people vote based on the death penalty. So here in New Hampshire, we have a pretty good governor. who is pro-death penalty, and the reason that he stated that he was pro-death penalty was to support the police. Here in New Hampshire, at least, I don't know if they've changed the rules, but at one point or another, it was basically the death penalty is only for people that kill police. And so advocating for the death penalty means advocating for the killing of cop killers is the notion. That is him seceding all the logical arguments surrounding it and just saying, look, this is an important portion of the electorate, and I want to support them in order to get their support. I mean, you know, he's just making a political statement. And I would think that the vast majority of people that choose to vote on, you know, that choose to vote don't choose to vote based on this issue. They're going to vote for on something else. So, you know, they'll take a candidate that has a dumb position on the death penalty. And that's all it is. It's a lack of education. There's very little. There are very, very, very few facts that are on the pro-death penalty side. It's all emotional yik-yak. More or less, it's this peripheral issue that nobody makes a decision on. And I think that's why we don't get moved forward on it.
That's right. And you think about it, the death penalty impacts very few people, right? I mean, you think about something like healthcare or jobs in the economy. I mean, that impacts all of us every single day. Yep. So people care far more about an issue like that than they do about the death penalty. And I should say, too, you know, we've seen national conservative leaders come out against the death penalty and support the work that we're doing. Folks like Ron Paul, who've endorsed us, Jay Sekulow from the American Center for Law and Justice. You know, we've seen plenty of big name conservatives who are willing to hang their hat on this and say, yeah, this is where I stand. I am very conservative, but this is where I stand. And that is not in conflict. You know, in fact, being against the death penalty aligns with my conservative values.
Yeah, really all you need to do to turn your if the emotional arguments are the one you make is to take a look at one of these people who's been released from death row because of bad evidence somewhere in the past, and just listen to what they say for 10 minutes on the subject and realize that these people have been through something akin to torture, essentially, and, you know, had the sword of Damocles, like, you know, quite figuratively hanging over their heads, and, you know, see what this death penalty has wrought them, rather than looking at all the terrible news stories that are out there, you know, surrounding the death penalty. And there's plenty of them. You know, there's murders all the time, and they're horrifying, and you see stuff and you're like, God, what a human animal. But ultimately, it just doesn't make any logical sense.
That's right. And you get to know some of these death row exonerees, and you hear their stories, and you understand that it is so possible for anyone, anytime, anywhere in our country where the death sentence is on the table, to be convicted and sentenced to death. I mean, sometimes I think people think, oh, it's someone who probably committed a different crime anyway, or, you know, was running around with the wrong people. I mean, that, and even in that case, like, the death penalty is very wrong, right? But you still see other folks who have nothing on their criminal record, and they end up on death row. And that's what I tell people is, it can happen. It can happen to you. It can happen to your father, your brother, your sister. I mean, it's a real possibility. And that's scary in the United States of America, where we want to be able to stand on our justice system and know that, you know, we're getting it right when we're taking people's lives away. And in fact, that's just not the case.
Heather Baudouin, please give your website one more time.
Sure. It's www.conservativesconcerned.org.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
We'd like to invite you to visit freekeen.com. Freekeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. Freekeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. Freekeen.com.